KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Hello, everyone, and welcome out to Tiger Field.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com. Click apply now and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Workers' compensation cases can move really slowly, and it's frustrating. Don't get pressured into hiring the first law firm you meet with just because they were fast to get you on their schedule. Your case impacts every aspect of your life. You want a local attorney that understands that and will get you the best outcome. Interview Patrick Orman of Gorman Law to see if he is the right attorney and to see if you really need an attorney. He will tell you the truth. Call 530-262-2168 or schedule online at Gorman Comp Law. Consultations and workers' comp are always free.
And Omar Redlock, and then he'll be facing off against Chase Phillips of the Reading 445, standing at 6'9". And yeah, looks about 6'9".
Yeah, we had to question that in the before we got on air. There, we're sure this guy is 6'9".
Of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now, in this 1 hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and art. We get
our nation's anthem, courtesy of business owners,
musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate, win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR.
Well, we almost had some transition of our nation's anthem, but we're going to conclude things here, and we will cut the break. Be back in just a few moments for the starting lineups.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Well, you heard it here on KCNR, tonight's game, sponsored by Lauk's Landscape Supply. And we're going to get you those starting lineups here, courtesy of Mr. Spencer Schlange.
Perfect. Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, starting off for the Alameda Anchors tonight will be Evan Fiorici, followed by Diego Delventhal. Batting third is going to be Marcos Lagios. And then batting cleanup is going to be Grant Honinger. The designated hitter batting five tonight is going to be Cam Imberg, followed by Kaven Krum at six. Ben Johnston at seven. Alec Nava at eight. And bringing up the lineup is going to be Carson Sanders playing catcher as well behind the dish. Nava will be at third. At first is going to be Johnston yet again. In center field is going to be Kaven Krum, designated hitter, of course, Imberg. In right field is going to be Honinger. Left field is Lagios. Irichi is going to be at second base. And at short is going to be Delventhal, making his first appearance for the Alameda Anchors. And then tonight, making the field for your Colt 45s, up the middle is going to be Mark Anthony Carroll at short, followed by Deegan Palos at second, Preston Conklin at third at the hot corner, and Patrick Bowen Jr. at first. In the outfield from left to right, in left is going to be Timmy Ayers, center is going to be D'Amico Parker, and right is going to be Braden Chiarito. Behind the dish is going to be Rohan Brown, making pitches and getting the nod from Coach Bob Anderson tonight. On the mound is going to be Chase Phillips out of Taft, California.
That's Chase Phillips out of Taft, California, which is the same place that Owen Hayes is from. Owen Hayes played with Simpson this last year, transferred from the Masters University down in, I forget what the name of the town is, somewhere in the middle of California on the coast area. But yeah, it'll be a kid from Taft, California, facing off against the kid from Alameda, Corey Houston. So for Alameda, the hometown kid who came up to Simpson University, he pitched this last year with Simpson, and he went 2-2 with an 8.12 ERA, 15 appearances, 4 starts, 37 and 2/3 innings, 14 walks, 24 Ks, and allowed for 24 extra base hits. As for Mr. Chase Phillips, he started last weekend, of course, against the Watsonville Aggies. That was in game 2, where he went 3 2/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, all 4 earned, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts for the 6'8" righty. And see what exactly tonight will entail. I've seen Corey Houston pitch a number of times now, because he pitched last year with the Anchors as well. And plus with Simpson the last couple of years, he's got some solid stuff for the righty, and we'll see him in the bottom half of the inning, of course. The Alameda Anchors are coached by Jerry Gibbs. The Colt 45s, of course, coached by none other than Bob Anderson. We had a great offensive showing last night as the 45s put 11 runs on the board, but Alameda, even with a shorthanded staff, a skeleton crew of sorts, 6 runs on 10 hits, but they had 5 errors. That was really what cost them the ball game for the most part, apart from that inning by De'Aaron Johnson, where of the 3 innings he went, there was just the first one that was kind of a rocky mess. But then, as was quoted yesterday by Coach Gibbs, he said he kind of dug himself a hole and then was able to climb back out of it. It was just great stuff from the young kid. As the Colt 45s have now taken the field, donning the yellow jerseys, the sleeveless with the black short sleeves underneath, and then the Alameda Anchors white bottoms and then gold tops with black lettering across that say Island City, Alameda, of course, in Alameda County, down east of Oakland is an island, which no one would really know from, I mean, gosh, from anything, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sure, definitely Bay Area knowledge there.
Yeah,
definitely.
That native Bay Area in me. Yeah,
there you go.
Some great culture out there in Alameda, been a handful of times. I'm wearing my Oakland A's stuff today, as I said, before I actually went live on air. It's like probably not the best thing to wear when you're playing a team from back home, but as it is, I see a couple of A's hats in the crowd, and I actually saw A's jersey yesterday, I think. But for the 45s, they were hit by a pitch 4 times last night. They batted around twice. They sent 9 batters to the plate. Or correction, once they sent 11 batters to the plate. The next inning, they sent just short of that. They sent 7. And that was a great offensive showing, but almost every Colt 45 collected a hit. But on the Alameda Anchors side, Marcos Lagios went 4-for-5. He's moved up in the lineup to that 3 spot. So he went 4-for-5 last night and walked in his middle at bat. So, you know, Alameda Anchors, they're capable of doing a lot. They got some talent on this squad. And that's kind of been what I've heard from
Coach Gibbs as we look to get your way here. And we will look to do so. It will be the second baseman, Evan Fiorucci. Melding those two names together.
There you go.
On accident. So he'll step into the box. Left-hand hitter, second baseman, digs in to face off against the tall righty, working from the first base side. Here's the pitch. It misses low. First pitch comes in at 7:15 on the dot. And we are underway from Tagger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jake Green, joined here by Spencer Schlange on this Saturday night edition of Colt 45's Baseball. It's great to have you with us. That one delivered right down Broadway for a called strike one. Count evens at one ball and one strike. Shadows covering parts of the foul territory on the third base side and right on the mound and then over the backstop is now one ball and two strikes. After that one is on the inner half to make the count one ball and two strikes. Here's the 1-2 delivery from the righty out of the windup. Misses low and in. 3-10 down the right field line, 3-20 down the left field line. To the corner to the left of the scoreboard in left center, 358. Right center corner, 370. Straight away, 406 at the batter's eye. Here's the 2-2 delivery. Misses low and away for ball three. Here in this scoreless top of the first inning, we've just gotten underway. The wind blowing out toward right center field, much more of a cross breeze. Under bluebird skies overhead, the payoff delivery is popped. Foul off the netting, almost ended up in this fan section here over on the third base side.
Yeah, and very similar win to what we saw last night in the opening game of the series that the Colts took against this Anchors team. Just left right a little bit of push. But again, yeah, we did see the ball. The more hang time it had, the more chance it had of causing some chaos.
Now the payoff is lined foul again, just late on it. And three balls and two strikes. We'll do it again after a couple of foul balls.
And a good job by Phillips looking calm, but also a great job by Fiorucci so far. Just making contact and staying alive in the battle here with the full count.
And the payoff again with the infield and outfield playing straight up on the lefty. This is just a bit upstairs, and Fiorucci works a walk. That's the way our ball game begins here on this Saturday night. We'll bring up Diego Delventhal.
Yeah, I do think the first walk we saw didn't take us near as long this time. I don't think we saw a walk last night until about the fifth inning or so.
That was deep into the ball
game. Fact-check me on that. But just one batter, and it's a full-count walk, unfortunately, for Phillips to start off. But he's got plenty of time to make things right here as he faces another left-handed batter in Delventhal.
We're on first. 45's a double play. Depth swing and a miss. Chase the high cheese. Blows it by him for strike one. As Jerry Gibbs relays some signs. And the third baseman, Conklin, playing in on the infield grass. He's pitched a tent over there, watching for the bunt from the left-hand hitter deep in the box. The catcher, Rowan Brown, ready to pounce on it or make a throw as this bunt try is no good for strike two. 45's looking to roll it up on the infield. They're shifted to pull just a little bit with the second baseman, essentially the lone infielder on that right side. Around the horn, Bone Jr. first, Paulus at second, Carroll at short, Conklin at third, defensively, and blows the fastball by him, fits into the glove of Brown, who holds on. That's the first K of the day for Chase Phillips.
Yeah, and again, that's just great speed coming down on it. Again, 6'9", as far as the roster goes, 6'9", 250. Definitely can get a lot behind the ball there. Good power beating him with the fastball, and looks like that's going to be his pitch of the night, at least so far. And then, obviously, people are going to start expecting that at the plate, and he could throw some change-ups, some breaking balls, stuff like that, and really get these batters on their toes, keep them on their toes and guessing.
Now it's the hot hitter who started off the night 4-5 last night, Marcos Lagios, fouled the first pitch back to the screen for strike one. Last night went 4-for-5 with a walk. Now digs into the plate from the right side, rocking the old school socks up high, right to the kneecap. 45's looking for two on the infield. There's the 0-1. Pop foul toward the parking lot. Very long and loud, strike two. Now it's lost underneath the car out there.
Fiorucci's still sitting on first. One out down here in the top of one.
Yeah, being held on by Bowen Jr. over there, who's in the sun. He's having to shield his eyes with his hand just to make sure he can see in case Phillips makes a pickoff attempt on over to first. There's the 0-2. Misses wide.
Makes it count. One ball and two strikes here with one out and the runner on first. The outfield defensively, Ayers in left, Parker in center, and Chiarito patrolling right field. They're playing straight up currently as well. Open stance for the righty. Here's the 1-2. Bounce in there, kicks away from the catcher, Brown, moves to his left to corral it. No throw down to second base. As Fiorucci with the solid base running, gets to second and in scoring position on the wild pitch.
Yeah, smart play by, good heads up play by Fiorucci. Just waited there patiently, make sure that ball kind of caromed away far enough to where obviously the catcher was going to have to get out of his position after Rohan Brown had to get up and actually give chase to that ball. He was able to easily make it safe there to second.
Here's a 2-2 as he checks the runner. As a chopper toward the shortstop, Marcus Nicaro gloves. He's going to go to first in time for the 6-3 putout. He had to look the runner back for Fiorucci at second base, and Fiorucci thought about trying to get to third, but end up staying at second base. Now there's two gone for Grant Honinger, who is in right field tonight. He was in left, the DH rather, last night, I believe.
Yeah, if my mind serves correct.
Yeah, and just looking at my lineup card, that is in fact correct.
Yeah, and a good play there by Carroll, just looking off the runner, as you mentioned, at Fiorucci on second, as his first one's going to get swung on into deep left field, giving chase to it. And making the grab is going to be the left fielder, and that will retire the side. Timmy Ayers making a nice grab in deep left field, and that will end it there. Four batters up. The anchors strand one.
We are scoreless after the top of the first inning, with the 45s coming up in the bottom half. Tonight's Reading 445's baseball game is brought to you by Loughlin 55, corner Dirsch Airport and Turnbrick Road. Call 530-378-2220. That's 3 2s and a 0 at the end of that phone number. Or log on to LouchLandscape.com. That's LOUCKS.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dirsch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dirsch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green here with you, joined by Spencer Schlange. It's great to have you with us here for the Saturday night edition of Colt 45's baseball to be the top quarter. And Parker Carroll and Conklin set to get their packs in against Corey Houston, making the start for the anchors this last year at Simpson University. A 2-2 record, 8-12 ERA, 15 appearances, 4 starts, 37 and 2/3 innings pitched. He walked 14 and struck out 24 and allowed 24 extra base hits. Here's the first pitch to the right end, hitting D'Amico Parker with the open stance deep in the box. Houston kicks and deals, misses up and in for ball one.
Yeah, we saw a lot of great things on both the offensive side attacking and the defensive side for D'Amico Parker last night, and looking for more of that, of course.
Now from the third base side, Houston rocks and delivers the 1-0. Misses up and in again for ball two.
And again, Corey Houston, a Simpson University graduate, so feeling at least slightly at home. He's played here before, of course, and in the local Reading area, but playing for his hometown area this time.
Yeah, the Alameda native, as this one's fouled back to the screen, just chopped backward. The Alameda native, and then also being up here at Simpson for a couple of years as well. And
right.
The last time he pitched in a ball game, as far as I know, was in fact his senior night, and then also on the road when the Red Hawks. Oh, I don't remember what state they're in. I think it's Georgia. I think they're out in Georgia competing for a national tournament spot. And
Caleb sounds about right.
Bit short. Here's a 2-1, and it goes off of Parker, and he will head on up to first base on the hit batsman. Well, you know, a little bit of rust on Mr. Corey Houston, but he'll hopefully settle in. And I said the last time he pitched was in that tournament, and I believe it was against Westcliff, who's one of the better teams in the nation.
Yeah, and Carson Sanders there, just not letting things get too out of hand too early, of course. Nothing to worry about so far, but hitting your first batter isn't obviously a great feeling when you're on the mound, so Anderson just making sure his head's right and getting him prepared for the next at-bat.
Yeah, and funny enough, that game against Westcliff that they were eliminated in Lawrenceville, Georgia, lost 6-5, and the losing pitcher in that ballgame was Tyler Shepard, who's actually on the 45s. Parker not going. This one's chopped. Foul, just barely. Chopped off the plate, went fair, and then foul again. So a couple of teammates on both sides of the ball, and then also Corey Houston was on the same pitching staff as Eric Winchester, who is the pitching coach for the 45s and sometimes coaches first base. Here's the 0-1 delivery. Parker, huge lead over at first. Pickoff him back to first. Wow. Not in time. Diving back is D'Amico Parker. I thought he was nabbed over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Good speed. Again, like a very, very aggressive leadoff first, and he has not changed that yet.
He's about 3.5 strides off of there.
Absolutely.
As Houston delivers up high for ball two. Ball one, rather. One ball and one strike.
Right.
Thought the scoreboard was a little bit late. And D'Amico Parker, a sophomore outfielder standing at 6 feet out of Lassen College and a Seattle, Washington native. So not the most lengthy frame. As the runner goes, ball taken for outside the zone, throw down, not in time, and Parker with a clean steal of the second base bag.
Yeah, and that's not the first, and will probably not be the last we see from him this series. He has done a great job getting on base, of course, first, which is the most difficult part, but then just staying really active out there. Making the pitchers second-guess themselves in their pitches and going on any contact and even not contact, as we saw there. He's stolen a few bases so far.
As the second base bag is a little bit loose from its moorings. And now we're going to ask for the good old landscaping tool out there, the scraper, to doing some landscape work out there is Rowan Brown, the freshman catcher, who's the battery mate tonight. He's in there with the, oh, what would you call that? Yeah, about 5 inches in length and then maybe 1.5 inches wide, if that. Stick it down in the place where the base gets stuck in with its moorings, and there's some extra dirt in there, so the base is a little bit loose. As the field umpire doing a great job of spotting how loose the base was as Parker slid in and then kind of fiddled with it. Now they get everything set. There's about 2 anchors and 3 Colt 45s out there, including the first base coach is doing some landscaping out there, some groundwork. So you get this break in the action. And I mean, just some inside stuff of baseball right there. I remember at JUCO you're trying to get the bases back in there at the end of practice and everything. You're trying to get all the dirt out, which is what they're doing right now with that tool. It's curled a little bit at the end. It's meant to go in there, fit perfectly like a glove, and pull all that dirt out. Looks like there's also something wrong with the base, so they're going to replace the base as well. And this might be a first. I can't remember if we've had this happen before, but just with a break in the action and some, of all things, the second base bag coming loose from its moorings, and now Bob Anderson's going to carry a new second base bag out there.
There you go. It's funny, just a random fun fact to fill the time. We do see the Colt 45's players, pretty much right after they change out of their gear, right after the game, they're out here cleaning up and prepping for the next game because, you know, there's practice out here in games 5 days a week. It's pretty incredible. You got, 60 days worth of summer and about 50 days worth of events coming on. So not much time for this stuff to sit. So they prepare right after their games, which is pretty impressive. Honestly, it just adds to the excitement of summer ball. You know, it's just roll your sleeves up and get to work right after getting the job done on the field.
100%. Forget the arm care and everything else. That'll come later. Although I will say Bob Anderson told me, he goes, Monday is the mental health day. It's no baseball, no nothing. Go to the lake, go play mini golf, go play real golf, whatever you got to do.
There you go.
So now Mark Anthony Carroll will dig back in. 2 balls, 1 strike, scoreless bottom of the first. Nobody out, runner on second, and D'Amico Parker. Here's the 2-1 delivery from Houston as we are back underway. Misses wide for ball 3. 3 balls and 1 strike.
to Mark Anthony Carroll, the shortstop for the 45s. After that break in the action, some impromptu landscaping going on. Houston comes set, kicks and deals the 3-1. Parker not going on the inside corner to fill the count up at 3 balls and 2 strikes. Mark Anthony Carroll last night went 1 for 4 with that sacrifice fly. He singled in the 5th and came around to score in that ever offensive heavy 5th inning.
Right.
Here's the payoff. Parker goes, taken for a strike, throw down to 3rd base, is not going to be in time. The ball escapes the clutches of Nava, and D'Amico Parker steals 3rd base as well, but
I think they're gonna
Mark,
stay. Yeah.
Mark Anthony Carroll does, in fact, strike out. And now the home plate umpire shouting it somewhere down the 3rd base side. Not exactly sure who he was yelling at. Trying to keep things in order and manageable here is quite literally just gotten underway. We're 15 minutes into the ball game here in the bottom of the 1st. Now with 1 out after the strikeout swinging from Mark Anthony Carroll, or looking rather, from Mark Anthony Carroll. Backward K in my scorebook because this one's fouled off for strike 1 from Preston Conklin.
Okay, there you go. I like it from the umpire too. Just keeping everyone in check early here. You never want to let the game get out of hand too early. So just making sure everyone's staying straight.
And in the spirit of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Absolutely. You know, there you go.
Keep the boys from scrapping. Here's the 0-1. Misses wide. 1 ball, 1 strike. And again, Parker dancing over there at 3rd base. He's 90 feet away from scoring the 1st run of this ball game. And with the speed, anything hit even medium depth to the outfield, which the outfield's pulled in a little bit. They're playing a tad shallow. So 1-1 misses all the way behind the batter.
And if I'm not mistaken, D'Amico Parker last night was going to steal home and most likely would have been safe, but a strikeout for the 3rd out obviously retired the side. So he came across the score right as the pitch was coming in, but it didn't necessarily matter.
And even with a righty, you don't discount that as not a possibility. This one's fouled up and away toward the parking lot. 2 balls and 2 strikes with 1 out now as Parker, you have to expect he's got the green light. If he sees a way, he can get home. But I will say it's a right-hand batter, so kind of difficult to get in there. You have a little bit less space to work with.
Right.
Here's a 2-2. This is wide for 3. 3 balls and 2 strikes.
Yeah, it's a good job there by Carson Sanders staying in front of the ball there.
Although I'll predict it now. If he's still on 3rd when Patrick Bowen Jr., who's on deck, comes up to bat, if he does, you might see an opportunity there. Here's the payoff delivery to the right-hand hitter, Conklin from Houston. Swing and a miss. Got him to chase it down and in on the back foot slider. And 2 Ks in the inning for Houston.
There you go.
Now we'll bring up Patrick Bowen Jr., the left-hand hitter, with D'Amico Parker over there at 3rd as the bat boy. Elias takes some fresh pearls out to the home plate umpire and gets some applause courtesy of Chad Johnson prompting the crowd. Chad Johnson, our public address announcer here, is the 1st pitch to the lefty. Bowen Jr. just misses low and in for 1. Thought it might have caught the knee for a second.
Yeah, me too. It was a close one for sure.
Just heard a grunt from the umpire.
Yeah, me too.
Here's the 1-0. Parker about a step and a half off the 3rd base bag. Swing and a miss. Got him to chase a breaking ball away.
Yeah, Corey Houston, obviously, a couple counts go in the distance, but able to win both them on both sides, one swinging and one looking, strikeouts. So can't ask for much more from the start for Houston, but he does got a runner on 3rd, so he wants to get out of this inning clean.
Now the 1-1. This is wide and goes through the... it actually went off the foot of Patrick Bowen Jr.
Which might be actually better for the Alameda Anchors, I'm not going to lie.
Say, D'Amico Parker thought he had home easily with it escaping the catcher, but it went off the foot of Patrick Bowen Jr. first. That's the 2nd hit batter of the inning.
So quite literally hit and miss so far from Corey Houston with 2 batters hit and 2 strikeouts.
It's one way to chalk it up for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Runners on the corners, 2 outs down in the bottom of the 1st here.
But another left-handed hitter in Braden Chiarito, so maybe see some sort of a double steal, pick-and-roll type of baseball situation, as close to a pick-and-roll as you can get in baseball. It's obviously basketball, but it's the 1st pitch, Bowen Jr. making the run down to 2nd base. misses for ball one to the left hand, hitting Braden Chiarito, who last night went 0 for 5, but reached on a couple of errors back toward first, is not in time. Diving back with a head first slide is Patrick Bowen Jr. He's being held on by Johnston over there, Ben Johnston. And then Parker over here at third, about a step and a half off the bag. Here's a 1-0. Breaking ball just misses off the plate for ball two. Close, even stance deep in the box for the left-hand hitter. The 2-0, runner from second, doesn't go. And this one just misses for ball three. Wow. Looked like it might have caught the corner, but guess not.
Yeah, no, I don't think Chiarito will be too eager to swing the bat here, at least for this first pitch, unless it's something he can drive in multiple runs.
Yeah, see if he gets one right through the heart. Here's the 3-0. Gets one right there on the outer half at the belt for a called strike one. That previous pitch, not the one just called for a strike, but the one before. Jerry Gibbs asking the umpire from the first base dugout where it missed.
Yeah, great spot there. Great job by Houston finding the spot there, staying alive in it.
Chopped toward the first baseman and threw for a base hit. Coming in to score is Parker and taking a spill, rounding second base. Now caught in a pickle between first and second, making his way back toward first. In the process is Chiarito as he singles down the line. Bowen Jr. rounded second, took a spill, rounding the bag, and then throwing on the brakes with the hard turn at first was Chiarito. Had to make his way back, and the cutoff throw came into Fiorucci and almost was able to backpick Chiarito at first. But Chiarito on the hustle was able to get back toward first, and now Rowan Brown to the plate, the catcher tonight, and it's the third left-hand batter in a row as well.
Yeah, and it looked like Johnston at first there for the anchors may have just lost it in the sun, couldn't quite tell. It looked like he was had his glove up trying to find that ball, and it was over his head before he really reacted for it. A little bit unlucky, definitely way up there, not one I would expect him to get, but definitely one he could have made a play on due to his frame. He's a pretty tall guy.
I was going to say, even with jumping, is it's a 1-0 count now on the left hand hitting Brown with part of first base in the sun. There's a patch of sunlight right where he was positioned about 3 feet off the bag. This one's chopped foul, out of play, beyond the first base dugout.
Yeah,
had that glove up, but then went to climb the ladder and realized he didn't know where the ball was.
Yeah.
He didn't know if it was going to drop. Took a weird hop off the infield grass and kind of spiked up into the air.
Yeah, it went pretty high, and also, again, with how tall he is, he probably is in the sun a little bit more than we are if we were standing up over there. So sun probably still hitting his face there up.
And again, that sun patch just between where the tree line is.
For sure.
Fouled off of the leg of Rowan Brown. He's going to go for a little walk back behind the, around the batter's box. As he shakes it off a little bit. That one also hard hit, just wears it on the inside of the calf, but with that patch of sunlight, it's right where you would normally play as a first baseman, and with holding the runner on, you're kind of a little bit closer toward the first base bag, and your stutter steps with the runner. That's exactly where he was in that patch of sunlight, unfortunately. So just probably caught that glimpse full of sun. Here's a 1-2 delivery with two outs and two on this 1-0 bottom of the first, and this is wide. Count moves to 2 balls and 2 strikes on Rowan Brown, the left-hand hitter. Catcher tonight for the Colt 45s, as the runners take their leads, the infield playing behind them with the shortstop, Deventhal, shaded up the middle to hold the runner close to second. Here's the 2-2 from Corey Houston, the righty from the third base side, is shot, kept by the shortstop, diving play, Deventhal throws to first, not in time, and the first baseman on the pitch try has to throw his body in front of it, loses his glove in the process, and everyone's going to be safe.
Wow. Yeah, that was impressive, absolutely, obviously. Great job by Rohan Brown getting a piece of it. And it looks like getting some time. Courtesy runner will be for Rohan Brown, of course, the catcher. Probably just going back to get his gear on.
And it will be the 2 of Tyson Bragg.
Yeah, we saw that a little bit from Ben Johnston yesterday, too, just putting his whole body in front of the ball, and that time he actually lost his glove, as Jacob mentioned, and still able to corral the ball and make sure no one was able to advance, especially Patrick Bowen Jr. on third. Could have come around to score if that ball got past him, or most definitely would have, and would have doubled the Colt 45 score here in the first.
I really wonder, is a wide-open stance for the right-hand hitting Bodie Joyner, deep in the box with the open stance, and the bases loaded, fouls it off. back to the screen for strike one, I do wonder if the first baseman, Johnson, over there at first, is a former catcher or third baseman or anything like that. Sometimes you'll have a former catcher move to first or third. Usually they play the corners, but
keeping everything in front of them.
Yeah, just right. that style of defense.
Makes sense.
Or just, I mean, receiving the baseball in any shape or form. Here's the 0-1 from Houston off the third base side out of the stretch. Waved at for strike two. Went fishing, came up empty. Caught him on the breaking ball. Houston looking to pitch his way out of the jam with minimal damage. You're in a 1-0 bottom of the first. And two gone. Bodie Joyner, the designated hitter tonight for the 45s. Here's the 0-2 delivery from Houston. Breaking ball waved at. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. The side is retired as Houston K's the side. The Colt 45s threaten. They score one, but they leave them loaded as we head to the second inning here on KCNR Shasta-Reddy.
Reading Colt 45's baseball is brought to you by Lauk's Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. Call 530-378-2220. That's 530-378-2220. Or log on to laukslandscape.com today.
This is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
As we head into the second inning, two up is the designated hitter, Cam Imberg, as he will watch this first pitch called strike from Chase Phillips, getting his second inning of burn here. After Imberg, the designated hitter, we have Kaven Kroom out at center. He's on deck. And then in the hole is Ben Johnson, the first baseman. 0-1 count here. Phillips kicks and deals. Big swing and a miss from Imberg. And we'll bring the count to 0-2 here in favor of Phillips and the Colt 45s, who lead this game 1-0 after a long first inning. And again, about half the ballpark shaded here as the sun has made a deep descent, but still right field covered in the sun, a little bit of first base, and in between that 3-4 hole as well, as Phillips misses outside for ball one, so 1-2 count here. Imberg, the designated hitter tonight, was behind the dish taking catches for, I think, the entirety of last night's game in the 11-6 loss, as this count will even up at 2-2. So looking to just do some damage on the offensive side of things tonight.
Yeah, and Imberg last night went 0-4, but
as this one's going to get popped up into deep center field, and it's going to be caught there. Lost it for a minute, my apologies, but it's going to be caught out in center field by D'Amico Parker, who didn't have to move but a few feet to make that grab, so it'll be one out there down on the fly eight from the designated hitter, Imberg, and due up will be Kaven Kroom.
Yeah. I was Parker out there patrolling center, had to
barely chase it down to his left, a couple steps back, but that wind doing a lot of help for him.
Right, absolutely, and he's someone who could definitely move if needed, but right there, you just had to take a couple steps back, a little shuffle, as you mentioned, and to make the squeeze.
Yeah, even with the wind, just kind of able to chase it down pretty easily. Here's a bunt toward the third baseman. Conklin gloves, read it perfectly, throws the first in time for the clean 5-3 on Kaven Kroom.
Yeah, and a great read, as you mentioned, from Conklin there on the hot corner at 3. Bobbles the pass around the horn there, of course. I want to put him on blast, but he got the important job done there.
I kind of just dropped a ball on the throw around the horn that goes from first to short to second to third. Kind of a probably a humbling moment really quickly after that clean play, unfortunately, but
he read that ball all the way through, though, for sure, which is the most impressive part. Has called strike again. Chase Phillips, rather, has been hitting his spot so far here tonight. Just the one strikeout to his name, but he's made quick work of these sides so far.
And Conklin last night, this one misses low. Conklin last night had a phenomenal day over there at the hot corner, and that's part of the reason why he's starting there again tonight.
Absolutely. He was making backhands on balls that looked foul and turning around and firing it all the way across, as we mentioned. This one's going to get chopped up off the ground. A big play effort there, and it's not going to be grabbed. It's probably going to be marked an E4 there, so Ben Johnston will reach first base via the air by second baseman. Definitely a tough play to make. Again, the sun could have definitely played factor there, but Deegan Paulos levitating but not able to get his glove, or able to get his glove on the ball but not able to make a squeeze and make a throw.
And
so
we'll
runner is safe.
We'll await the word from Chad Johnson here on the PA if he announces it. Nick Merrill, our official scorekeeper, but I'm thinking infield single just due to the nature of it was so far up the middle, plus having to jump to it and barely getting a glove on it. Usually when it's in and out, it's more of an infield single, I'm guessing. So we'll see exactly, but.
For sure. Alec Nava up here, the right-handed batter.
And it was a weird, not really hard hit, but kind of hard hit at the same time as it was chopped to the middle.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Just skipping past, almost hit it straight off the ground, and then just a big hop there through the infield grass. Definitely not a easy play to make by any means, but hard to say if that was an expected play. I'm sure he expects that of himself there playing second base.
But I mean,
Paulos, but again, if he gives himself any bit of slack, that's not one he should make.
Moving to his right, on the backhand, reaching up. That's really hard to range to, and in this case, getting a glove on it off the tough hop off the infield grass. That's, I mean, phenomenal stuff that he even got the glove to it.
Right.
Almost Corrada with the leather, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Phillips tears in on the 2-1, chopped back, even up the count 2-2, and we'll do it again here. Again, fourth batter faced. Here, two outs down, chance to retire the side for the second time on the fourth batter and leave no one but Carson Sanders yet to bat heading into the third. About as good as you could ask for it so far from this Colt 45's defense. It's early, of course. Two outs down, runner on first. Top of the second, Colt 45's lead 1-0.
With Bowen Jr. holding on the runner at first, also shielding his face from the sun. Breaking ball just misses the southern hemisphere.
Definitely a close one. That would have been a great way to retire the side there as well. Phillips getting his second strike out of the night. And now the full count, the payoff pitch pending to keep the inning alive. Chase Phillips looking to shut the door on him. Here's the 3-2, and he's just going to miss, and that will advance Ben Johnson to second, and Alec Nava will take first base. And now Carson Sanders, bottom of the lineup, will be up with the runner in scoring position here in the top of two, looking to add some onto the board for the anchors early here.
Yeah, I was just, I mean, on the payoff pitch as well, able to break on the play with two gone, anything hit anywhere you're able to run on, so why not get the early break there, but it was just a walk, so not the worst case scenario for the 45s as they'll kind of reset the down marker here with Carson Sanders up to the plate, and a fastball right there on the outer half of the knees, you called strike one, get a new batter in there, a new count, infield will shift behind the runners, the outfield shaded a couple of steps toward left, mostly D'Amico Parker out there patrolling center field.
Yeah, absolutely. A great job here by Phillips getting ahead on this count to start off. And another called strike. It's going to be an 0-2 count now. And he'll have some junk to work with, more or less, here for at least a pitch or two. Try to get Sanders to swing at something and retire the side.
That strike zone expanding just a little bit as this game's progressed.
Here's the 0-2. It's going to miss just high, you'd have to assume. That's called ball one. sometimes the late call from the umpires you never want to speak too soon, especially on the radio where not able to see the live stream and actually see where that pitch is going.
Yeah, the strike three, just getting ball one, Cole.
Yeah. 1-2 count, dancing on second base is Johnston. As this one's going to miss as well, and it's going to even the count 2-2.
Yeah, misses way away on that breaking ball. Might set up a fastball in the inner half here, was kind of what that pitch may have been, although he was trying to probably paint the black off the outside edge. So the 2-2 comes in from the righty Phillips.
Here's the 2-2. Inside, or they're going to say hit by pitch off the elbow or shoulder area, and that's actually going to load the bases here. A walk followed by a hit by pitch from Chase Phillips. And just in time for the top lineup, Evan Fiorici with two outs down, bases loaded, an opportunity to really do some damage here for the Alameda Anchors.
That had me absolutely fooled. I thought that was a punchy. And I even had a little umpire hand signal in the process. I led you astray. Oh, my goodness. So I just barely caught the elbow guard.
I did see it was inside on the hands a little bit, but I did not think it made any contact with the batter as this one's going to miss low for ball one. As the catcher, Rohan Brown, did a great job of catching that ball off the contact, I guess, off the elbow of Sanders. But regardless, base is loaded here. Swung on. It's playable, and Patrick Bowen Jr. is going to take it himself. So the Anchors threaten, but they strand all three here in the top of the second. Score still 1-0 in favor of your Colt 45s as they head to the bottom of the second.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Lauk's Landscape Supply, home of the UCAR Concrete. Plus, Lauk's Landscape Supply has several different size trucks to accommodate your needs. Call 530-378-2220 or log on to laukslandscape.com. That's 530-378-2220 or log on to laukslandscape.com.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here to Tiger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green, here with you, joined by Spencer Schlange, who will take you the rest of the way through this second inning.
Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, due up is 8th and 9th in the lineup. It'll be Timmy Ayers. On deck will be Deegan Palos, and then the top lineup, D'Amico Parker in center field. And it's going to be another left-handed hitter, which, as you mentioned to me yesterday before the game even started, this is a left-handed hitting heavy team compared to most teams for this Colt 45s team this campaign, especially in comparison to last year and previous seasons that we've been out here at the ballpark.
Even, I believe Bodie Joyner was... Oh, no, right. Take that back. My apologies. Led everyone astray. But this is the fourth left-hand bat we've had in the lineup showing Bunt pulling back, called strike one regardless, as the third baseman was way out toward that 5-6 hole back behind the third base bag, playing behind. I had to charge in for it to crash the boards.
And Corey Houston here, getting his second inning on the mound. Starts off with that strike, obviously. As Jacob mentioned, here's the 0-1 pitch from him. Swing and a miss from Ayers. And it's going to be strike two, the 0-2 count now.
Yeah, Fighting might have got a piece of it held on by Sanders, but according to the home plate umpire, not the case. Now in an 0-2 hole for the left-hand hitter.
Righty kicks and deals the 0-2 inside at the knees, a little low. It'll be a 1-2 count now.
Yeah, tried that back foot slider and did not work.
And again, the shade just covering the entirety of the infield now and most of the outfield, left field completely shaded, center field just a little bit, patch of sun in there, and right field obviously dealing with the most, but still just dashes of sun. As this one swung on, it'll be foul, and we will do it again.
And Jerry Gibbs almost made the bare hand play out there in front of the dugout and didn't spill his cup of Gatorade in the process. That was some great stuff and great footwork from the veteran ball player and coach over there. Wow.
There you go. That's why he does it, right? That's why he coaches.
100%.
So the 1-2 count here regardless. Houston peering in. Takes and deals the 1-2. It's going to be just outside. He'll even up the count at 2 apiece. 1-0 here in this ball game. Your Colt 45's lead in a slow one so far. Just about 40 minutes into the ball game. Just bottom of the second. Zero outs away.
Yeah, moving and grooving. We've already been once through the lineup for both sides.
Right. Houston delivers the 2-2. Swung on hard. It's going to be into deep right field. It looks like it is going to go foul, but he really got all of it. And that's the proof you need there, that Ayers can take 1 yard.
It went up onto the roof out there across the street. On a hop, and absolutely roped it. I was going to say, if it's fair, it's gone. If it's foul, well.
Still gone.
Still has a distance, but it is, that ball was not coming back. He was just a little bit out in front and just ends up pulling the ball just a tad. And it is a game of inches, folks.
Absolutely. And that one most likely would have been gone into deep center field at the 406 mark, to be honest. He got all of that one down the right field line. Could not keep it between the lines, though. Brothers 2-2, fouled off again. He's staying alive here, staying in the fight, keeping the pace of this game going.
Yeah, 3 balls and 2 strikes after a couple of foul balls. He's on it, just a little bit off at the same time. Just trying to stay with it. He's looking for the right pitches in the sequence.
As the wind continues to play factor in this series over this weekend.
Looks like he's hunting that off speed. And yeah, this wind, well, it's been a little bit of a factor so far. We'll see how much more that cross breeze.
Here's the 2-2 from Houston. Just misses, and it's going to fill the count at 3-2.
Wow. That was a great, great location from Houston. Just missed.
Yeah, definitely a close one here. And none of these players wanted to give an inch so far in this first at-bat in the bottom of the second. Houston peering in the full count. Payoff pitch here. His third of the night. Here's the 3-2. They're going to say he missed wide, just outside, and that will be a long at-bat from Timmy Ayers. Coming from an opportunity to a home run, but regardless, he'll be on first base.
Put a clinic on right there.
There you go.
Spencer, dare I say it's chilly out here at the ballpark tonight with the wind and 77 degrees. Now I've been up here. This is my third summer up here in Redding after being a Bay Area native and then coming up to college at Simpson University here in Redding and kind of used to the heat now. 77 degrees and a breeze. Pickoff sent toward first on time, diving back with the right hand is Ayers. And, yeah, it's this is what you call chilly.
Yeah, there you go.
You're here in Redding. It doesn't get this cool ever during the summer, even at night.
Absolutely. Sometimes the first couple weeks of June when the sun does go down, the wind picks up just a little bit. But it's not that hot breeze we get at around 3 or 4 p.m., 90-degree weather.
Pitch misses. Low and in. As one attempt here from Paulos. He's going to try to beat it. Houston grabs and makes the throw in time for the 1-3 for the put out. Out number one.
Missing the second will be Ayers. So runner on second, one out away here, and we'll be at the top of the lineup with D'Amico Parker.
Yeah, the cross body throw from Houston from foul territory got it. Across behind the runner as well. That was great stuff.
Yeah, I was about to mention.
Houston.
I can't believe he got that around Paulos running right along the baseline to get to first. Just about half a step late there. Good heads up play by Corey Houston. That swung on by Parker into deep center field. And it's going to be an incredible grab by the center fielder. And tagging now is going to be Ayers. And he will slide into third and he will be safe. So, not a sacrifice fly being a run across, but he will advance a runner. Great hit there by D'Amico Parker, but arguably an even better grab out there by the center fielder, which will be Kaven Kroom.
Kroom out there in center field, ranging toward the gap, out toward the 370 mark, chases the ball down, reaching up above his shoulder, flips around, bounces off the wall real quick, hucks it into the cutoff man, the second baseman Furuichi, who made a throw on the money to the third baseman who applied the tag. And it was a bang-bang play at third, but...
Casey Norr, Shasta Redding.
Tagging up here on KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNRradio.com. Breaking ball in there on the inside corner to Mark Anthony Carroll for a called strike one. He struck out looking his last time up.
Yeah, and Carroll now the 0-1 count. Jumble of words there, Jacob. Well done. I'm impressed.
Been doing this a long time. What
absolutely. There you go. As swung on here by Carroll. It's going to take a big hop by the pitcher's mound. It's going to be bobbled and still made the play for the 6-3 putout. How about that to retire the side on third base? Stranded will be Timmy Ayers, but that will retire the side. We will head to the third inning. Still remains 1-0 in favor of your Colt 45s.
And what a clinic by the shortstop. Delventhal behind the second base bag, bobbled it, kicked it around between his ankles, picked it up strong, throw to first. And we've seen some great baseball so far through two. It's 1-0, the 45s lead. Colt 45's baseball is brought to you by Lauk's Landscape Supply. Check out their wide variety of landscape rock, road base and sand, decorative bark pavers, retaining walls and block, plus small rental equipment to help transform your yard. That's Lauk's Landscape Supply, L-O-U-C-K-A-S.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hello, fans, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. Your Colt 45s lead the Alameda Anchors 1-0. They took the victory last night with a score of 11-6, and they're looking to win the series here as a first pitch called strike from Chase Phillips in his third inning of burn. So we'll start off the 0-1 count against Diego Delventhal. Batting second in the lineup, and on deck will be Marcos Lagios, followed in the hole by Grant Honinger. As the entire ballpark now shaded besides quite literally the deepest part of the ballpark, right on that 406 sign out by the American flag. That's the only speck of sun, and it's just on the wall, not even on the grass itself.
Great stuff right there, painting the picture. Man, that was beautiful.
0-2 count here, swung on, and it will be fouled back into the glove of catcher. That'll be Rohan Brown making the play there. It'll be called strikeout. More or less of a strikeout there for out number one there. Well done by Chase Phillips. That'll be his second on the night.
Strikeout with a little bit of contact.
There you go. Three pitch strikeout.
Got a piece of it, but yeah. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night nonetheless.
There you go. And Lagios now getting his second at bat where he hit into shortstop Mark Anthony Carroll into a 6-3 put out. Another called strike, and that is four pitches, four strikes so far. Knock on wood for Chase Phillips. We got 1-0 here in this still rather young ball game. Top of three, one out away. Here's the 0-1 from Phillips. This is just low and inside to even up the count. Again, wind still pushing from left to right field. Little bit of push towards center. And slight shifts as this one looks like it was going to get fouled off the plate. But no call, and he will be safe at first from an error by the first baseman, which, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah, Bowen Jr.
Is still
Bowen
Jr., correct?
I thought that was fell off the plate, but
yeah,
I
that's what it looked
corrected.
Like to me as well.
I mean, if you're the anchors, you'll take that every day of the week, but yeah, that's an E3 clean and
absolutely
through.
Shake of the head there by Bowen Jr. As for a minute, I thought there was someone else out there on first.
Actually, you might be right. I want to say Patrick Bowen Jr. is a lefty. That's a righty out there.
We're trying to make sure out here.
You are correct. We'll that's correct not Patrick Bowen Jr.
I believe it might be the 24, not the 14, but the 24 of Arthur Chavez there on first right now.
We'll see if he turns around any sort of way. We can catch a number. And with these shadows...
Glasses might need to come up for this one.
I was going
to
say, the white lettering on the back, kind of hard to see with the shadows all over the field, and the light's not on yet.
So regardless, Lagios is on first here. The 1-1 pitch misses just high and gets away for a second, but able to make the grab there, obviously, and get it back as Brown. So it is going to be 24. It'll be Arthur Chavez there on first base with that error. A little bit unfortunate again to me and Jacob. It looked like that ball was fouled off the plate and then into play, which may have been a big reason it took that weird spin, that weird jump on him. Definitely a play he could have made still and gotten unassisted out. But regardless, runner on first, 3-1 count. And Honinger is up here looking to get a walk.
Dancing around there at first base. This one's hit in the air toward left, giving Chase his ires toward the line, and he's going to play it on a hop. And as it stays fair, the runner will hold at second base as a long single from Honinger.
Yeah, and that ball just sat in the air for not quite long enough with the wind. It just started falling shorter and shorter and shorter and not able to get there. His ires, not necessarily expected for him to get there, but just took a really short hop on him. He was a couple feet away.
Yeah, it was cutting away from him somehow,
yeah,
even
sure.
with the wind. But it hung up there and then just, again, plummeted rather quickly, landed about a foot and a half fair on this left field side.
Yeah, I was about to say, almost on the chalk there. Pretty tight one there. So this one's getting fouled up the first baseline. Chavez is able to deal this one. Look to turn two, and they will get it, the two outs. How about that? A great double play to end the side. It's going to be a 4-6-3 double play. And that will retire the side here after the top of three. 1-0, Colt 45 still lead.
Yeah, the double play works things for the 45s as the Alameda Anchors threaten, but they fail to score as they ground it to the 3-6-1. Tonight's game is sponsored by Lux Landscape Supply. Oh, my goodness. At the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road here in Redding, California. Call 530-378-2220.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Redding, California, who up in the bottom of the third is Preston Conklin, as he will watch a first called strike coming from Corey Houston here, getting his third inning of work as well. Hit both him and Cole Phillips with a handful of strikeouts so far on the night. Looking to tag somewhere on as a bunt is shown here by Conklin. He's going to try to beat the tag. Houston's able to make the throw, and it is going to be the 1-3 putout to open the bottom of the third here.
Try to pull the butt back and then ends up just barely making contact with it after he pulled his hands in with the butt, and then it goes off the handle as we get the Patrick Bowen Jr. spot. It's the first at-bat of the evening for the 24 of Arthur Chavez over there at first base, who started that turn on the infield to close out the previous inning on that 3-6-1 double play. So he's in the game at first as of last inning. Came as a defensive replacement. It's none other than another left-handed batter in Arthur Chavez.
There you go. Well said. And not entirely sure, but according to the roster, assuming it's up to date, he is typically a catcher. But tonight, getting some work, that just proves his theory correct. The hot corner or first or catcher, all the same stuff at the end of the day.
Way out in front of this one, swung on a miss for strike one. Yeah, just strike two, rather.
There you go.
Forgot we were this deep into the at-bat already. Here's the 0-2 from Houston.
And it's going to skip back into the wall behind the umpire, but no runners on, obviously, so no threat there. Bringing the count to 1-2. That one gets away from Houston just slightly. Still a 1-0 ball game here at the bottom of three. 1-2 count, one out away. And on deck and certain to get an at-bat here is Braden Chiarito as well. A swung popped up. Looks like it's going to go just outside the netting, and it's going to fall a barehanded attempt by a fan there.
Oh, that's going to hurt tomorrow.
Yeah, hits them on the left hand, not able to make the grab, and a few boos coming in from the other side of the crowd, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but still able to collect the ball and to deliver that back to Homer, the mascot, and we'll do it again.
Let me see if I can get this ball from Homer.
There you go.
He might give it to a kid. Oh, he just dropped it.
All right, I'll take
that's
it.
That's an error on Homer.
Him. You go chase him. I'll
that's
take
an
over.
E on 45.
There you go.
If I shout to him, maybe I'll get it.
From Houston.
Oh, ring him up. Strike three called. Gone. A looking.
A delayed call there from the umpire had me confused as well. Looked like it was right down the heart of the zone there. Turns out it was. Just not much of an animated call. Two outs away. Two up, two down so far for Houston in the anchors defense. And up is Braden Chiarito. Another left-handed hitter. In this lineup, I think part of three or four in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
As this one's going to miss inside. Just the heart of this lineup, all left-handed batters.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6, and then 8.
How about that? 50-50 ratio, nearly.
Yeah, pretty rare.
As close as you can get to a 50-50 ratio in ball, as this one's going to be another called ball. 2-0 count here.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of chilly up here. This is rare. I don't think it's been so long. I should have brought a quarter zip with me.
You feel like you made a trip back home?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, okay.
This one in there for a called strike one on the inner half. That's where the cold coastal wind, you know, versus the warm, dry air.
Yeah, there you go.
That onshore breeze is a little bit different.
It's 2-1 count here. Houston peering in, looking to retire the side. Check swing, they're going to say strike regardless. 2-2 count. And Chiarito down to his last strike. Trying to get a little two-out rally going, but he's got to get on first to make that happen. Which, as we mentioned a little bit off-air, that was the difference maker in that fifth inning was all 6 runs scored on a two-out rally. Here's the 2-2. Got him. It got him looking, and that is going to be the third out. That will retire the side. 3 up, 3 down, and another pair of Ks for Corey Houston. So, again, we'll head to the top of the fourth. 1-0, your Colt 45's lead in this low-scoring game so far.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Laux Landscape Supply. Home of the U-Car Concrete plus Laux Landscape Supply has several different sized trucks to accommodate your needs. Call 530-378-2220 or log on to LauxLandscape.com. That's LOUCKS.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here to Tiger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green, here with you, joined by Spencer Schlange,
It's the top of the fourth inning for the Alameda Anchors to face off against your Colt 45s. It's Kroom, Johnston, and Nava due up 6, 7, and 8 for the 45s here in this 1-0 top of the fourth inning. Chase Phillips kicks deals a fastball on the outer half, called a strike one to the left, right-hand hitting Kaven Kroom. As the light's not on quite yet, as we've entered the first hour, this one's fouled off out of play toward the parking lot beyond the first base dugout. As it has entered the sunset hour, right, I mean, just on the outside of dusk at this point. As Spencer,
I make my decision here.
Here's the 0-2. Swing! And Vince blew it by him. It's doors for Kaven Kroom. He is out number one.
Yeah, great job. Three-pitch strikeout. Amazing caller, Jacob. Got to give you your flowers there. Chase Phillips with another strikeout. He has now got three on the night, all swinging. Very impressive so far. Again, that heater, the fastball with his size and the power he can get behind the ball. He's looking to keep this one going, as this is his fourth inning of work, of course. And I do think the glasses will stay on for one more inning, or at least half of an inning, I think. Changed my mind here.
The first pitch on the outer half, called strike one. I mean, yeah, either way, I got to wear glasses, so.
There you go. I'm slightly indecisive. 0-1 count here. Phillips delivers, swung on, right back up at him, and it's going to split the 4-6 hole right past second base, and it's going to be a solid knock there from Ben Johnson. It's going to be a single, and he will rest on first base there.
Quite literally up the middle and crossed up the middle infielders, Carroll and Paulos, doing their due diligence, full extension effort, and couldn't get to it fully. It was on the rim of the outfield grass, but clean single up the middle just barely. So Johnston is aboard for the second time tonight, his second hit as well. And now Alec Nava to the plate.
Yeah, another wind shift here. Slowly just blowing back and forth as that flag in deep center. And we're feeling it here.
Yeah, you're out here in shorts. I'm in long pants.
About as indecisive as I was if I wanted to go this inning with glasses or without is this wind. Cannot decide which way it wants to blow.
It
has been
swirling.
Consistent as far as there's been a breeze all night, I should say.
Waved at for strike two. Quickly, no balls and two strikes now to Alec Nava, who walked and then was stranded at second his previous time up. And his only time up tonight, so he's 0-for-1 with a walk. Now the 0-2 from the righty Phillips. Kick steals, misses high, back down to first base. Not in time. In standing up is Ben Johnston.
And yeah, I think Phillips, that one just got away from him a little bit. Maybe it was the idea with the 0-2 count, not giving one in the zone, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind painting the corners there with the fastball. I'm sure he will be back to that before this at-bat's over.
Here's the 1-2. It's hit in the air towards center, playable for Parker, giving Chase, settle underneath it and toss it back in to keep the runner back at first base. That's Johnston. Nava with some solid contact, but Parker patrolling is able to chase it down for out number two.
And again, not much movement out there necessary for Parker. And he's able to easily throw it back in there and keep Johnston on first, which is where he plays. So he's used to being there, obviously, but he'll be going on anything here with two outs down.
There was a book by Brooks Robinson, who was the third baseman for the Baltimore Orioles in the late 60s, early 70s. Here's the first pitch from the righty, swung on a miss for strike one, and it was called Third Base is My Home, so I guess we can coin the term. Yeah, first base is my home for Ben Johnston.
There you go.
But he's lived there tonight, two singles, and made his way around the bases almost once, but it's a 1-0 top of the fourth here. The 0-1, right there on the outside corner at the knees, a called strike two. 0-2 hole for the right-hand hitting Carson Sanders.
Phillips now gives him an opportunity to change it up a little bit and then maybe go back to that fastball if necessary.
Chavez holding on the runner at first. The 0-2 fouled up and away out of play. As the count remains, no balls and two strikes.
And a big bounce to the lot and off the car.
Some fans shouting a handful of hitting coach.
Constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism. The 0-2 misses upstairs for ball one. Don't know how exactly to explain the phrasing.
Yeah.
It was clean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no.
Just, you know, some hitting advice.
some sound hitting advice as well. Now the 1-2 with the wind swirling here at Tiger Field. Lights not on. Shadows covering all the field. Chop throw to third baseman. The shortstop, Mark Anthony Carroll, in the hole. Jump throw to first on a hop. Not nearly in enough time. Had some mustard on it. Ends up in the left field grass as the lights have come on. Let there be light, as it were.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised and impressed. Obviously, good attempt by Mark Anthony Carroll, but I'm surprised he tried to turn that one and make the throw off the back foot with how long it took him to get to that ball, just because it was pretty close to that third base line, and then having to turn and throw off of 1 foot falling backwards. Not enough mustard to get there, of course, and probably wouldn't have even beat the tag if it didn't take a hop. Luckily, it was an accurate throw.
That's usually one you just eat and you hold on to it.
That's what I was thinking.
I think that was there's a strike on the outside corner to Friucci.
Thank you for clearing that up for me. That was my roundabout way of saying I probably would have kept that one in the glove.
Very indirect, help, I'm a soccer player. But yeah, no, I feel like that was just a summer ball. Let's see if I can make the throw. The 0-1 off the plate, even the count up at 1-1. You said too much mustard. It reminded me of me and Xavier Mason calling a volleyball game this past year, and someone hit the ball to the literal back wall on a line. And I said too much mustard on that, and he added a couple more condiments to the list. We were joking about it. Here's this one hitting the air toward the left, giving Chase's ires toward the warning track. Reaches up. He'll track it down for the out, and the side is retired. The Alameda anchors get a couple of hits. They score none as they strand a pair aboard here in the top of the fourth inning as we head to the bottom half here in a 1-0 ball game that the Colt 45s lead.
Reading Colt 45's baseball is brought to you by Lauch Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersch Airport and Shern Creek Road. Call 530-378-2220. That's 530-378-2220. Or log on to LauchLandscape.com today.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauch's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauch's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauchsLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauch's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California. It's the bottom of the fourth inning here. Two up is the catcher, Rowan Brown, followed by Bodie Joyner and Timmy Ayers for the 45s. Left-hand batter is Houston here in this fourth inning. Delivers off-speed just a bit low, over but low for ball one. As it has entered the crepuscule hour. And my color commentator, Spencer, takes his glasses off finally. No, I'm just kidding.
It's official.
Here's the 1-0, catches the outside edge for called strike one. That's how I know it's really sunset, is when you and I both take our sunglasses off.
There you go.
Now, me not having 20/20 vision, got to switch from the sunglasses to the actual glasses, which I need a new prescription, so this should be fun. Here's the 1-1, although you were the one that... Oh, there's a line shot toward the second baseman on a hop, gobbles it up, flips to first in time for the 4-3. You were the one that lost the ball up in the sky last night, not me. So,
I guess my prescription's
not that bad.
But I was looking at my score sheet. Let me explain myself.
Oh, yeah,
don't lie to all these good people.
Short distance to far away.
Yeah, looking down, and then I hear the crack of the bat. I'm like, oh, this is my inning I'm calling here. I should probably pick my head up.
But it's always that. Not that you forget you're calling the game, but when you get too deep in your notes and then all of a sudden something crazy happens and you're like, how in the world? It's been calm all game. And then you check your notes real quick just to make you have everything right. All your P's and Q's are dotted and crossed.
There you go.
He's the first pitch to the right-hand hitter. You were paying attention. No, I'm just kidding. Your P's and Q's are dotted and crossed. Forget your I's and T's. You got to mix metaphors or idioms, whatever you want, expressions. Folks, also, if you're watching the Stanley Cup Final, some hockey, some great hockey being played here in Game 3. They're all knotted up at 4. There's a breaking ball, misses wide for ball 2. 2 balls and 1 strike, and I mean, every single game has been absolute cinema, along with the NBA Finals.
Absolutely.
Both of those first 2 games. And, I mean, wow, the New York Knicks.
How about those Knicks?
How about those Knicks?
2 away. Slight concern for the city of New York, though, based off the fans and how they like to act, based off the win or the loss.
I mean, as some swing and a miss for strike 1, goes fishing, comes up empty on the heater. As someone who's been to New York a number of times, it's not actually ever as crazy as people talk about. It does kind of match the movies when you walk into Times Square, which is pretty fun. Because it's one of those things that lives up to how it's portrayed in the shows, the movies. And check swing goes around, couldn't hold up for strike 2. 2 balls and 2 strikes now on the right-hand hitting Bodie Joyner. And it was one of those times of, oh my goodness. Like, it just matched. I actually got to sit this last summer. Not only go to a game at Boston, but got to go to New York City, kind of tread around for a day. That was the second time. I went twice last summer. Here's a 2-2. Waved at. Wow. Got him to chase. And that is another K for Corey Houston. That's the 7th one of the night. Or 6th one of the night, rather, for Corey Houston.
Yeah, how about that from Houston? Putting on a show again, as you mentioned. Probably hasn't pitched in a couple months. With this being the first series for this Anchors team on this 2026 summer campaign. But a great job through 3 2/3 innings so far, and we'll see if he can punch out another one here before the side ends.
Now it's left hand hitting Ayers to the plate. And, I mean, yeah, New York City, magical place, Manhattan. I got to sit outside MSG with a bagel and some schmear. Let me tell you, my life hasn't peaked that well since, as this one's waved at way out in front. Is Timmy Ayers, who got aboard via the walk his last time up and his first time up.
Yeah, that's the New York experience right there. A bagel outside of MSG.
One of the most magical places on earth.
Absolutely. I've heard in the books.
I mean, music-wise, sports-wise, so many just... Yeah, it's a crown jewel. Here's the 0-1. Misses a little bit off the plate.
Is that what MSG stands for? Music, sports, and grub?
Yeah, no, that's exactly, yeah. To everyone listening, no, I'm just kidding. Madison Square Garden.
Pretty cool.
The other garden, as a Boston Bruins fan for hockey, and then also a Red Sox fan, and my number 2 baseball team behind the Oakland A's. So 1-1, right at the knee on the inside corner, called strike 2, the Red Sox. And so Boston, big fan of Boston sports. Apart from the Celtics, I'm a Golden State Warriors fan, so.
There you go.
Well, we own the Celtics, thankfully. We just got word from Alex Parker back in the studio. New York has some great punk record stores, so that's pretty cool. I actually got to go into a record store while I was in New York at one point. 1-2. Waved at. Got him to chase again in the side. Is retired. 1-2-3 go the 45s. That's the last time I mentioned New York while we're calling a game. As we will head to the 5th inning here on KCNR. Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. We're online at KCNRradio.com.
Redding Club 45 Baseball is brought to you by Lauk's Landscape Supply, home of U-Cart Concrete. Plus, Lauk's Landscape Supply has several different size trucks to accommodate your needs. Call 530-378-2220 or log on to laukslandscape.com today.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small,
Come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the fifth inning here on KCNR Shasta Redding. The late kick and the delivery to the left hand hitting Diego Delventhal is in there for called strike one here on KCNR. Jacob Green joined here by Spencer Schlange. It's great to have you with us. The sunset is all around us and the lights are on at Tiger Field. This one misses low. Shadows covering all of the field and then the lights on, but not quite taking full effect here. Now the next pitch is waved at, caroms foul for strike two. One ball and two strikes with nobody out here.
Yeah, it's still a 1-0 ball game. Just that one run coming in the bottom of the first from your Colt 45s. Or, yes, bottom of the first, sorry, from D'Amico Parker. Actually, the first batter who was hit by a pitch, so the one and only guy to come around is the first batter for your Colt 45s in this 1-0 game.
And on a sacrifice fly, this one's grounded toward the second baseman, bobbled, picked up, throws the first, wide of the bag, and safe at first. Wow. Diego Delventhal with the hard 90 puts some stress on Paulos and has to make a hurried throw as it goes wide and on cue. Wow, that's crazy stuff.
Yeah, and Paulos, where's that one on the chest? Obviously took a nasty hop, staying in front of it. Able to corral it and grab it really quickly, and then makes a throw, but it's just not quite accurate because, again, as you mentioned, Delventhal really forced that throw out a little bit quicker than I think he would have wanted to.
And now Lagios to the plate, who went 4-for-5 last night. Runner goes, huge jump ball taken, swing and a miss, throw down to second base on a hop and not picked at the other end by the shortstop, Carroll.
Yeah, and a quick just 3 or 4 pitches, and right in the scoring position goes Delventhal. I think just one at a time we had a runner on third, and this is the third time or fourth time or so we've had a runner in scoring position in total for the Anchors. But still nothing to come across as of yet. This is the best opportunity as of now.
1-0 swung on a miss to even the count of a one ball and one strike, and lots of base runners via the errors in the last couple of games. There was 5 last night for the Anchors, 3 for the 45s. And then tonight, just kind of both trading pairs. Now coming set is Phillips. Kicks and deals the 1-1. Breaking ball waved at again for strike two. Completely fooling Lagios. That was actually strike three. Take that back. Looked at the scoreboard to make sure I had the count right. Turns out they had the count incorrect.
Yeah,
so down on strikes is Lagios.
I guess myself as well. It was just a 3-pitch K there as Lagios swung on that one. Obviously, a little bit of confusion as Delventhal went to steal. That was a swing and a miss, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Yeah, it was a swing and a miss, and I thought they had put that up on the scoreboard, but I guess not. Now the first pitch to the left hand hitting Grant Honinger is off the plate for ball one.
One out, down runner on second in this 1-0 ball game.
And a tying run over there in scoring position. Now the 2-2 from the righty Phillips as he comes set, kicks and deals to the lefty, right through the heart. Let's make the count. One ball and one strike. We got some sign language going on between me and Spencer. Well, 2 balls and 2 strikes. We'll see what the umpire says. So it's 2-2 with 1 out.
I'm sticking with my 1-1 here.
This one's fouled off out of play toward the Colt 45 pen.
I believe it should be a 1-2 count. I think we've only seen 3 pitches so far since the strikeout from Lagios.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Regardless, it's 2 strikes. I think we'll roll with 1 ball and 1 out.
Yeah, there you
go. 1 ball, 2 strikes, 1 out. You're in a 1-0 top of the fifth. This one's chopped foul up the third baseline back toward the dugout where the third base coach, John Downey, I believe, makes a play on it for the 45s. So the count holds at 1 ball, 2 strikes. To the left hand hitting Honinger. Now the 1-2.
Breaking ball misses upstairs. Pops out the glove. The catcher gathers. Throw to third. Tag applied by Conkling. In time! Thrown out trying to steal on the wild pitch. And that's one way to get the second out of the inning. On the 2-5.
Incredible heat thrown there. Absolutely incredible. He bobbled it. He looked up and he just flung it in there. Throw on Brown. Absolutely incredible. On a dime there. Perfect throw and put his whole entire body into that one.
And Honinger took that pitch for a ball, so it's a full count now, according to the scoreboard, with two outs. The payoff is a ground ball toward the 3-4 hole. Diving play, and it's through into right for a base hit. And that's unfortunate for the anchors right there, because if you don't take off on that play, and he kind of took off late, and Diego Delventhal kind of took off late from second base, wanted to make sure the catcher actually lost the ball. He wasn't just trying to deke the runner. And then on his slide into third, just couldn't quite beat the throw. So, two outs after the caught stealing and the K, and it's the right-in hitting Cam Imberg, who's flown out and grounded into that 3-6-1 double play. Hits this one in the air toward right center. Parker giving chase toward the warning track, up against the wall. It's going to bank off the bottom of the wall. Comes all the way into straightaway center field. Parker over to Crowley. Imberg grounding second. Coming into score is Honinger into third base. Standing up with a stand-up triple is Cam Imberg as he delivers, and we're all knotted up at one here in the top of the fifth inning.
Yeah, how about that? That one all the way back. You saw D'Amico Parker, the second the ball hit the bat, you heard the crack of the bat, and he was turned around running full speed towards that wall. He knew exactly where that one was going, but he couldn't quite get there in time. It was just a few feet away from going over the wall anywhere else in the ballpark, and that's a two-run shot.
Literally hit it.
Turned into a triple.
Probably to about 380 out there in right center field, just toward the batter eye, that black wall, the middle section of the wall out there, as Kaven Kroom to the plate, who struck out swinging his last time up. It's the first pitch to him, the righty. This one pops out the glove of the catcher again. Misses just a bit upstairs.
And just to be clear, that will even up the scoring at one apiece.
Yeah, we're all knotted up at one here in the top of the fifth. Waved at even the count of a one ball and one strike on that backdoor breaking ball, back foot breaking ball, my goodness.
And Imberg, yeah, really just got an absolute hold of that, showing off why he's the designated hitter. Obviously not the best performance last night at the bats, but trusting him from the coach is another called strike here, right down the heart of that zone, bringing the count to 1-2.
One ball, two strikes, the go-ahead run over there at third, and yeah, for Imberg, hit that to almost the deepest part of the ballpark. And the opposite field power from the right. The 1-2 is chopped with the shortstop on the backhand, marking the Nicaragua glove. Strong throw to first. Knocked down! Everybody's going to be safe. And coming into score is Imberg. Safe at first is Kroom.
Yeah, great speed there by Kroom. It did look like he had him by about a step there. So definitely a close call there at first. I thought he was safe, but obviously not everyone's going to agree with that one. But regardless, the game's been flipped on its head now quickly.
And Bob Anderson looks like he's going to go to the pen after he motions toward the bullpen. And we're going to cut to break here for the break in the action as he gathers in the whole infield runner at first. If we get a new pitcher on a relief, we're going to cut to break. We'll be back in just a few moments here on KCNR Shasta Reddick.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks, are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravel, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California, as we have a new relief pitcher heading in here for your Colt 45s. As Chase Phillips' night is over for 4 2/3 of an inning, as he finished the night with 4 strikeouts to his name. 2-1 now is the score in the top of 5 in favor of the Alameda Anchors. Runner on first, that is Kevin Kroom, who just had that RBI single. And up is Ben Johnston. And it looks like on the mound for your Colt 45s is going to be the 21 of Jet Hattori, who will get his first look at this Alameda Anchors offense in this series.
Yeah, and Phillips going 4 2/3 plus. He is responsible for the runner aboard at first base, and then also could get handed the loss on the night, even after having a great outing.
Absolutely.
Here's the first pitch to Ben Johnston. From the righty, runner goes, throw taken outside, throw down to second base, tag applied, not in time. And Kevin Kroom with the stolen base, showing off the wheels. It's another stolen base tonight for the Anchors.
Yeah, they had quite a handful of those also with last night as well. Both sides have done a great job staying active on the bases, and good base runners who have come around to score multiple times due to that extra 90 feet, just jumping the gun.
There's the 1-0 from Hattori. Popped up foul out of play. Back over behind us. So Hattori, Cupertino native as well, which all you iPhone users, Cupertino, the place of Apple. Here's the 1-1, Apple HQ. This is wide for ball two, down in the East Bay. Well, the South Bay, really, not actually the East Bay. I was going to say, for non-Bay Area natives.
It's all the same.
Might think, yeah, I was going to say, it might think natives. East Bay is Cupertino, but it's really South Bay. Here's a 2-1. Just misses low and away for ball three. 3 balls and 1 strike as Jeff Hattori, the 6'165" Cupertino native from College of the Redwoods.
Dancing over there on second base is Kevin Kroom, just trying to throw him off, and it looks like it worked, as that is a 5 or 6 pitch walk, I guess, with the foul. But regardless, Ben Johnson will get a free 90 feet, and now we'll have runners on first and second with 2 outs down and Alec Neva up.
We got some CR alums in the crowd. Some cheers and a fist pump.
And lefty here in Alec Neva.
And, College of the Redwoods, COR, CR, whatever you want to call it, in Humboldt County, which is right near where they filmed Star Wars of the original episodes. What episode is that? I think it's not. Oh.
Don't look at me. Do not look at me, man.
Oh, I want to say Return of the Jedi. I think it's Return of the Jedi. But up in the Redwoods. Fun fact about filming that, you had to be 6 feet tall to be a stormtrooper extra.
There you go.
Because I wanted them all the same height.
That's pretty cool.
Here's the 1-0. Well, in a bluff.
No bot call there either.
Which has been the theme of these opening couple of weekends, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and a guy who doesn't have the best eye for baseball yet, that didn't look too natural to me. But regardless, no call.
This one's grounded toward the second baseman waiting for it. Paulos gathers, flips to first in time for the 4-3, and the side is retired. But the Alameda Anchors take the lead, and they now lead by a score of 2-1. We're halfway through our ball game tonight. After 4.5, it's the Alameda Anchors 2 and your Colt 45s 1.
Redding Colt 45's baseball is brought to you by Lauk's Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. Call 530-378-2220. That's 530-378-2220. Or log on to laukslandscape.com today.
this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dirsch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your... So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dirsch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
And folks, that's how we play, Alex. Why we play, goodness gracious, why we play, no, I'll get it right, why we pay Alex Parker, man, that's a mouthful, the big bucks right there with the Star Wars music on cue. That's great stuff. As Houston will be out there to face off against 9-1-2 for the 45s here in the bottom of the fifth. This one will plunk Deegan Paulus, and they'll take first base on the painful free 90 feet.
Yeah, I don't know if free is the right word there for sure. Didn't have to swing the bat, but definitely had to wear that one. Right between the shoulder blades, it looked like not the most optimal spot to be hit with baseball. I can think of worse places, but I can definitely think of better as well.
Not where I would want to be hit if absolutely. I had to choose. That's...
I think that's reserved for that elbow pad that most of the guys wear.
100%.
That's a great spot for it.
Which no one knows necessarily, but even off the pad also hurts.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
That is a plate of metal with some...
Pick there is Houston.
Yeah, just a quick pickoff of him thrown over to first was not in time. That's, it's just fabric over some metal plating.
And you kind of just,
you know, kind of wear it as D'Amico Parker takes one right through the heart for cold strike one to the center fielder, who's been fairly busy tonight with, again, with the wind blowing left to right field. He's out there in center, so anything pulled by the absolute plethora of right-hand hitters as this one's hit in the air toward left, giving chase is Lagios right to the track and will squeeze it on the run, throw back in to hold the runner at first. D'Amico Parker gives it a ride but comes up just short. Saw some flashbacks the last weekend on the line shot, three-run homer for the walk-off on Saturday night over the wall, and he just missed it. Got a little bit on top of it.
Yeah, it's a great job there by Lagios out there, able to stay under it. That ball, again, with the wind, might just be dying just a little bit when it's hit out into that left field, kind of making its way back towards the center of the field. Obviously, really got a good hold of it, but not quite the height, I feel like. He could have carried a little more distance on that one.
Back pick toward first is not in time, just keeping the runner honest.
Yep.
As Mark Anthony Carroll in the box, now with the open stance right in hitter, and pick off them toward first, diving back, and in plenty of time is Paulos, and watching the Stanley Cup final over here. Just keeping eyes on the scoreboard, you know. I don't know if you've ever done play-by-play for hockey, but me and my friend Quinn Wright did it at one point just for fun. So 1-0, right there on the inside corner of the breaking ball. It is so fast-paced. It's like basketball on drugs.
There you go.
It's like watching basketball on fast-forward.
Yeah.
But I will tell the only thing is names, because you have line changes every, like, 30 seconds.
Right.
So you got to memorize the lines. But, man, it's fun. The 1-1, runner not going. Little dunked into center field for a base hit. And coming up throwing is Kroom to hold the runner at second base. The lead runner, Paulus, at second base, as Mark Anthony Carroll with the solid knock. And there's some motion and commotion amongst the base paths.
As you mentioned, Preston
Conkler.
Great knock there from Anthony Carroll, just right over the second base line, able to advance 90 feet for himself and, as well, as you mentioned, Deegan Paulus. Now you got a runner in scoring position with one out down, looking to at least even this game up, heading into the sixth inning and get it back where they had it, possibly.
Although they
run on first now.
The anchor's looking for a double play with the American flag and the 45's flag blowing left to right out there in straightaway center. And Corey Houston wanting to pitch the contact here. The infield playing behind the runners as they take their leads from first and second. Just wanting that ground ball. Infield shifted a couple steps to pull for the right-hand hitter. Conklin, who's K'd and grounded out tonight, and this one will plunk him in on the hands. That will load the bases.
Yeah, and again, just some errors have changed everything. Two batters hit by a pitch, and then obviously in that last inning, a couple walks has really just changed everything in this game. And it looks like Coach Gibbs is going to have a talk with Corey Houston, whether that's it for him or not. Looks like they're just now sending someone out into the pen.
Yeah, this will be to buy some time for the bullpen to get ready. That's a fourth hit batsman for Houston tonight as both teams gather in their respective places and a little confabulation circle to chat things over. Gibbs buying some time for the 18 of Matero Gutierrez to get up and get loose out there in the bullpen. Now everyone makes their way back. The bases are loaded for the left-hand hitting Arthur Chavez, who K'd looking his first and only time up after taking over for Patrick Bowen Jr. Left-hand hitter. With the bases loaded and one out here in a 2-1 ball game, and we've dropped down to 72 degrees. It is a...
That is getting chilly.
Well, chilly night at the ballpark, which is not something we'll probably say the rest of the way this season.
Absolutely, I think you're right.
The first pitch of the lefty is a line shot through the right side for a base hit. Coming in to score is Carroll, rounding third and holding there. Or Paulos, rather, coming around to score. Carroll holding at third, moving up to second is Conklin as Chavez delivers, and we're all knotted up at two. Braden Chiarito to the plate now, as the Colt 45's offense has started to come alive.
And there you go, Arthur Chavez right there. First pitch swinging right down the right field line. Just put that 3-4 hole, obviously, in the air on maybe one hop through them. And able to bring one around all the way out to the right fielder, who just kind of lollipops back in there. No threat for a second run scoring.
As this one's waved at for strike one. So bases loaded, no balls, one strike, one out here in the bottom of the fifth of a 2-2 ball game. Houston ready to deliver as the lights are on. They've taken full effect here at Tiger Field. This is low. One ball and one strike. With one out, there's a force at every base. On deck is Dylan Brown, rather. Getting up in a hurry is Gutierrez. This one's a little flare towards shallow left center field. A trio coming on, playable for the left fielder. Lagios charging, throws in to the cutoff, but it's late. And Mark Anthony Carroll tags up on the play. And now no one at third base to cover. And the 45 is able to tag up and take advantage as Carroll comes in to score. And then taking third base is Conklin. Chavez holds it first. Braden Chiarito delivers on the sacrifice fly, and that will bring up Dylan Brown.
Yeah, an incredible read by Conklin there. I was watching him start to run as the ball made its way back home, and I was like, what are you thinking? And then I look over at third base, and I see, that. What am I thinking? There's no third baseman there. So it makes a lot of sense.
I need to beat the shortstop
in
a foot race.
I'm not on the field for that because I would have sat a second. Probably would have taken a seat over there. Like, yeah, I'm not getting a chance at there. We had a run come across. We'll stick with this.
Pitch the tent real quick. Just set up camp.
Absolutely.
There's a line shot into center field for a base hit as it will fall, trotting into score, and a quick throw in by the center fielder, Kroom, to hold the runner at second base. Conklin comes into score. It's now a 4-2 ball game as the Colt 45s have taken back what was once theirs a little bit over an inning ago.
Absolutely. And just like last night, the bottom of the fifth has really opened this game up a little bit. Six runs last night at the bottom of the fifth. We got three right now, but could be more, and it looks like Gibbs has seen enough of Corey Houston for tonight, who put in a solid effort, just kind of got away from it here in this inning. Two outs down, he goes through 4 2/3, both starting pitchers actually, both Chase Phillips and Corey Houston going through 4 innings and 2/3 of the fifth, and his night will be called here.
Yeah, Jerry Gibbs is going to go take the baseball from him. And we're going to get Matero Gutierrez on in relief to face off against Bodie Joyner when we return after this. Brown delivered, and it's now 4-2 here in the bottom of the fifth.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretto trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
It's runners at the corners as Matero Gutierrez will face off against Bodie Joyner. If I could spell it correctly on my scorecard. There we go. As he will conclude his warm-up tosses for the Alameda Anchors. The wind really blowing here at Tiger Field. 70 degrees. It is a beautiful night for baseball. And as someone who was raised at the Oakland Coliseum in those late summer games, when the fog rolls in, this is the ballpark. This is a summer ballpark temperature to me. I'm just not conditioned to it because I've been out here at Tiger the last couple of summers. But, man, oh, man, is it beautiful, let me tell you. Under navy blue skies overhead, the lights have taken full effect. And the Colt 45s have the lead here as we're on the back half of our ball game here in the fifth. It was a hit batsman for Paulos. He got aboard and then a fly out by D'Amico Parker, a single, a hit batsman, another single, a sacrifice fly, and then another single by Rowan Brown. And all of a sudden, the 45s have the lead by a score of 4-2, but definitely a long way away from counting out these Alameda Anchors. They stormed back last year at one point, and then they did it last night a little bit as well, and they made that ball game an 11-6 ball game.
Yeah, absolutely. As mentioned as well, runners on first and second here, two outs down in a 4-2 ball game. Three runs here coming in the bottom of the fifth for your Colt 45s. Fifth inning has seemed to be their home so far.
It's always that second or third time through the lineup where they really find a home and get some work in. There's two outs here in this 4-2 bottom of the fifth. It's the first pitch from the righty Gutierrez to Joyner, foul tipped and held on by the catcher Sanders. For strike one.
And a little frustration there from Joyner. Looked like he wanted that one bad. See, it steps out of the box real quick. A little head shake.
And a little bit starstruck all of a sudden. So we'll dig into that in a second, but one ball and one strike. Dallas Braden, one of the broadcasters for the Oakland A's, and also threw a perfect game on Mother's Day. That whole ordeal, I believe it was the 20th game in Major League Baseball history at the Oakland Coliseum. Two balls and one strike. Longtime color analyst now for the Oakland A's. He has the signature thing where whenever he enters a new ballpark in the broadcast booth, he has his sneakers up and showing them with the field in. And so I took a picture like that tonight just to post and give everyone the link to kcnrradio.com. This one misses upstairs for ball three. And tagged Dallas Braden at the 209 Mayor on Instagram. And not only did he like my story, he responded with it to keep doing work. And, man, what another reason to love Dallas Braden, dude. I love that guy, the 209 Mayor. And, I mean, fan favorite, the 3-1, right through the heart, called strike two. Actually got to meet him at Root Beer Float Day that the A's used to do in the back part of the Oakland Coliseum complex, where players and coaches and members of the staff of all kinds will scoop you ice cream and stuff. You do floats, meet players, get autographs. Super awesome charity event. Anyways, here's a payoff pitch with two outs and the bases loaded. It's wide. Throw down to third with the runners going on the double steal correction. The bases were not loaded. My apologies.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Regardless, here on KCNR, Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at kcnrradio.com. I'm Jacob Green.
with Spencer Schlange here with you. It's great to have you with us.
Absolutely, yeah, and a great job there by the third baseman. It'll be Alec Navik just keeping that ball in front of him. Definitely thrown out by the catcher, Carson Sanders. He was coming out of the stretch there, making the throw. Couldn't quite keep it in front of himself. Or he could keep it in front of himself. Navik can, or Navik could, but Sanders not able to make that perfect throw. But obviously that saves a run.
As now the ninth batter of the inning. Here working a 1-0 count. It's another left-hand batter, and Timmy Ayers, who's walked and struck out swinging tonight. Now the wind and delivery from Gutierrez. Breaking ball. Oh, look out. Almost hit him on the jaw. Oh, my goodness. That breaking ball broke a little bit too late.
Yeah, definitely high and inside. Good thing he's able to get out of the way there, Ayers. Bases loaded here, two outs. Not necessarily one you want to wear in a summer ball league, or any league at that one on the head or in the face would not be ideal.
Yeah, heck. No, here's the 2-0. This is up and in again for ball three, and now a tale of last night starting to come into effect. We'll see what exactly ensues. Things have started to hit a little bit of a lull here in this 4-2 bottom of the fifth. Traffic on the bases. There's Ducks on the pond. The 45's looking to get more meat on the table with a left-hand batter to the plate and a 3-0 count. Here's the pitch from Gutierrez on in relief of Corey Houston, who went the first 4 2/3. That will miss low. A four-pitch walk issued. A walk and a run as the 45's officially bat around.
Yeah, 5-2 in the ball game now. Obviously, back-to-back walks not optimal for this Anchors defense, whose offense got them back in the game, but now they haven't been out on the field in about half an hour, so it's obviously going to play factor as well into how hot their bats get here coming to the top of the sixth. You'd have to assume, at least. Bases loaded here again with two outs down.
Back-to-back walks issued is... It's now an 0-1 count to the right-hand hitting batter. This one misses wide to level out the count at 1-1. Deegan Paulos here in his second at-bat of the inning.
And he's one of the four this inning to come around and score earlier after being hit by a pitch from Corey Houston. So watch this one miss high as well, bringing the count to 2-1. Just one out away from retiring the side as well. But so far, he's had to go through three more batters, and this is the fourth he's faced. Not Gutierrez himself, I guess, but this Anchors defense. So another little bit of two-out rally in the inning.
Line shot down the right field line. He'll get down for a base hit. Trotting into score is Bragg, and now rounding third and into score standing up. Into second base with a 2-RBI double is Deegan Paulos. Ropes one the opposite way down the right field line. Played back by Honinger. Not quite in time as two runs will score. It's now a 7-2 ball game as the 45s have blown it wide open here in the fifth yet again on back-to-back nights.
There you go. Six runs and back-to-back nights. They might not be done here. The fifth inning has been the hot one for the Colt 45 so far in this series, and expect nothing less tomorrow, I guess.
Those free passes just costing the Alameda Anchors as it will be the top of the order in D'Amico Parker. The first pitch to him is fouled up and away, out of play.
Seven-two, the score now. Runners on second, third, two in scoring position. Two outs away here in the bottom of five. And the top lineup, D'Amico Parker here, staring down 0-1 count after that one was fouled back in the lot. Swings, chops another one right into the bleachers.
And not quite caught by a fan. Or actually, might have held on. I didn't hear a dunk off the bleachers.
Close one.
Great catch.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt there.
Now the 0-2, just a bit inside. Tough take there. Gutsy take for 1-2 now with two outs. On the 1-2, misses way up and in. Now it's two balls and two strikes, and some fans here just encouraging. That's in quotations, if that wasn't heard through my tone. Encouraging the pitcher. The 2-2 fouled back to the screen. DeMeco Parker sitting fastball, it looks like. Just a little bit early. Two balls and two strikes. It's funny. The jersey he's wearing says Willis on the back, because my first thought was, what you talking about, Willis? Now the 2-2. Breaking ball, shot toward the third baseman on the back end gloves, throws across, and picked at the other end. And as they say, he came off the bag. Oh my goodness, I don't believe it. Two runs coming to score. It was a late call by the home plate umpire. All of the anchors thought he was out. And now Jerry Gibbs is going to come out to the mound, come out to the first base umpire and chat things up with him. I'm sure he does not agree with that call. And I mean, wow, just a way higher level of professionalism than I would have handled that from Jerry Gibbs. Covered his mouth real quick, asked a question in the first place. I'm higher now. The trio gathers, but no kicking and screaming there from Jerry Gibbs. And I did make a wager with him yesterday. Again, family friend of ours made a wager with him. I said, if you can get tossed out, you know, maybe I'll throw a five your way or something, you there know, you just, which of course you're not going to do in summer ball, but had to make things interesting. And well, safe at first is DeMeco Parker on the hustle. It was a fantastic play at the other end by Nava and a great play by Johnston. Thought he kept his foot on the bag the whole way through as they all review this. We'll see what the call is, and the call stands as safe. So DeMeco Parker gets the RBIs on the infield single. Paulos came around from second base to score, and trailing behind him was Ayers. So couple of runs on the infield single.
Incredible.
It's now
play.
9-2.
Incredible play by Ayers there. Just a heads-up play going to score, seeing that that ball was getting thrown to first. If it's two outs, there's no point in not going. So a great play and heading home. Called safe, and that was it here.
Throw down to second base on the steal. Got him. Wow. DeMeco Parker absolutely sniped over there at second base. Great throw by Sanders. And the side is retired. Sorry to cut you off there, Spencer.
No worries at all.
As we will head to the top of the sixth inning. It's 9-2, the 45s score 8 on in the inning here on KCNR Shasta Reddick. 40-60 AM 96.5 FM here with Jake Green and Spencer Schlange. The 45s lead by a score of 9-2 as we head to the top of the sixth inning.
Reading Colt 45's baseball is brought to you by Lauk's Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. Call 530-378-2220. That's 530-378-2220. Or log on to laukslandscape.com today.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the top of the sixth inning. The Alameda Anchors now working from a deficit after they had the lead in the previous inning. It's a southpaw on in relief for the 45s to face off against Carson Sanders in the top of the order and Evan Friucci and Diego Delvital to take the rest of the way through the sixth. Here's Spencer.
Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, Sanders, the bottom lineup. Let's start with the top with Friucci and then Paul as he watches strike one. So there's now plenty of work to do here for the anchors.
Yeah, and a couple of very different names from what we saw last night at the top of the order.
Missing even the count there, 1-1. Here's the 1-1, right down the middle. Got him with the off-speed. He'll bring the count to 1-2 here. With this first batter faced here, looking just to keep a safe distance between the score here. 9-2 lead here at the top of 6, as this one's going to be low and in the dirt. Even up the count at 2 apiece.
We'll also get you Houston's final lines in just a moment. This one's fouled back to the screen.
Count will remain 2-2. As Waller, the lefty, peers in the 2-2 pitch.
Ah! Misses! I was waiting for the strike call right along there with you. It just missed.
Yeah, regardless, full count now. Here's the payoff pitch. Foul back, and we'll do it again. Get the full count here. Going the distance, Carson Sanders. Trying to get on here as the anchors are down by 7 after that 8-run fifth inning from the Colt 45s. Outdoing themselves from last night's fifth inning where they scored 6. All after 2 outs, though, as this one's going to get hit foul again. Great contact there by Sanders, but just a little bit late on it, and it's going to crawl out to deep right field, but it will stay foul. And if I think, if I'm not mistaken, the 8th pitch of this at-bat now. Coming here from Waller.
Yeah, what a way to open up his outing.
Absolutely. Waller now takes a deep breath, kicks and deals the 3-2, check swing, and it's going to be low. He will work the walk. Sanders will be on first for free, and it will be the top of the lineup.
This is where some of these can cost you. A 9-pitch walk. Chad Johnson keeping track for us. Shout out the public address announcer. Does a great job.
Yeah, appreciate that always.
As always. And even sometimes when we don't have the scorecard right, or not the scorecard right, but scorecard right when pinch runners and pinch hitters. As Evan Fiorucci to the plate with the top of the order here in the 6th of a 9-2 ball game. Check swing on this one, called a strike regardless. With the run on first, the 45's playing a double play depth with Carroll and Paulos up the middle.
Sorry, I could not get that name right at the top of the lineup here with Fiorucci for the life of me. The Colt 45's have been at bat for a while. I forgot how to pronounce his name, to be honest.
It happens.
Jacob with the save there. It's going to be called a strike. It's going to be an 0-2 count now, and Fiorucci is going to have his work cut out for him.
That is the beauty of color commentator with you, and then Absolutely. Also doing play-by-play and swapping off, as you have a second set of eyes, second set of ears, second set of everything, to where anything you miss, you can cover up, or you can hop back in,
there you go.
Back and forth.
Yeah, I pick my head up. There's a new pitcher, and I don't even know who's at the bag sometimes.
This 0-2 misses way inside.
There you go. So 1-2 count. To make clear, we are still at the ballpark here.
A very laconic game, very back and forth, very rhythmic. You have to be pretty adroit for games like these. But when you work together as much as we have, it kind of
does help for sure. This one's going to get ripped, but it's going to go foul down the third base line. It's going to stay 1-2. Good contact there by Fiorucci.
Second nature. Had to sit there for a second. You know. Wait for the breaks, the natural breaks in the ball game, and you know you anticipate that hit coming in or whatever play, and we're only in the 6th inning. There's a lot of baseball left to be played.
Absolutely. As we've just hit the 2-hour mark as well, or a few seconds out from it, as another foul tip will keep it alive for Fiorucci.
1-2 still.
And Waller has worked a lot of pitches just on facing his first 2 batters here so far.
Yeah, and a 1-2 count.
sure he doesn't mind, though, coming in the sixth inning. As he will check. Just look for the pickoff attempt on Carson Sanders. Sanders is easily safe. Gets dirty in order to do so, but safe nonetheless. Count remains 1-2 here. Zero outs in the top of the sixth. Your Colt 45s lead the Alameda Anchors 9-2. Fiorucci taking in, looking to swing. And it's just going to miss. Not entirely sure where that will even up the count 2-2.
That might have been a bit above the belt.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Slightly.
Yeah, barely above
question
the buckle.
At the end of that, for sure. Could have been above the belt. 2-2 count. Here's the pitch from Waller. Going to lose track of that one a little bit, and it's going to fill the count for the second time. But again, putting up an average of 9 pitches or so per batter faced so far. At this rate, he's going to work 40 pitches on this first inning pitched. Here's the payoff from Waller. Swung on and right down the third base line. It's a great contact swing there by Fiorucci. And holding at second is going to be Sanders, and that is going to be a good-looking single right down the third base line.
Wow, played back in quickly here by the left fielder Ayers, and the third baseman Conklin doing all he could, went off the tip of his glove and then caromed into left field, and that puts runners on first and second as the Anchors have a little bit of noise here.
Yeah, we're going to get a quick time there from Coach Winchester just to make sure his pitcher's doing all right. Obviously going the distance with back-to-back batters and not winning either of them is not ideal.
And for Corey Houston, for the Alameda Anchors, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 5 runs, all 5 earned, 1 walk, 6 Ks. He could walk away with the loss. We'll see what exactly ensues here.
And just a reminder again, tomorrow, final game of the series here, and it could be the deciding factor if the Alameda Anchors can pick up some scoring as they did in that fifth inning and then keep the defense sharp. 7:15, again, first pitch, roughly, give or take, 7:15. It was right on the dot tonight.
Yeah, right on the money.
There you go. So come out to the ballpark, enjoy a good time with friends, family, all sorts, and hopefully a great happy medium between the weather yesterday and the weather today.
Yeah.
Sunny in 80 degrees, even sunny in 75, can't complain with, but it has cooled off since the sun has gone down here. And the 2-2 count here. If I'm not mistaken, that might be a scoreboard issue. I think we're just getting on here with Delvin Thal, as it's going to be called strike, and that will bring the count to 0-1. Runners on first and second here for the Anchors. Zero outs away. They trail by 7 against the Colt 45s here in the top of 6. Waller digs in, bunted off, and it gets fouled straight back. And a little bit of chatter there coming.
And you can tell the game slowed down a little bit as far as the casual fans concerned. Yeah, just making it fun. What can I say?
And I do believe Delvin Thal is the beer batter for tonight, so I think I heard a quote, do it for the people, because this one's going to miss just short coming from the crowd.
And the Alameda Anchor dugout in pure elation as he avoids the strikeout, at least so far. It's a 1-2 count with nobody out. Runners at first and second is screams from the Alameda Anchor dugout.
Here's the pitch from Waller. It's going to miss just outside. It'll even the count 2-2. And I will say, not to mention, not to put any more pressure on him, Delvin Thal has struck out twice so far tonight. But he has also made some contact, but it's been a part of a double play, if I'm not mistaken. He's going to hit this one into deep right center. It looks like it's going to fall. An incredible grab from right fielder, second base Sanders will tag, but an absolute incredible play there by Chiarito.
Yeah, Chiarito chasing it down in the gap. Oh my goodness, reach up and grab it. That was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to get the first out here for the Colt 45s. Obviously, runners on the corners now, as Sanders will make his way to third. But Fiorucci will hold at first, and due up is Marcos Lagios.
Overall, Delventhal really wins that battle because no $1 off beer for the fans. So he didn't strike out. You got to strike out for the $1 off beer. So that's kind of makes for a fun little extra factor as the left fielder, right-hand hitter steps up to the plate. And Delventhal is, had he struck out, would have been one strike away from the golden sombrero.
There you go. And Chiarito, what a grab again, just to reiterate that. Full sprint from probably, I don't know how far he ran, but able to make that grab and then get it back in. Keeping Fiorucci on first, as this one's going to find some open grass right over the shortstop's head, and a runner will come in to score because of that. It's going to be a RBI single for the left fielder, Lagios. And that will bring the score to 3-9.
Yeah, and slowly chipping away.
There you go.
A one-out rally going on, and it's been solid knocks. As, again, Sanders trotted in to score. Fiorucci moves up to second base as Lagios singles.
And now facing the heart of the lineup, it's going to be Honinger, who was the DH last night, and then Cam Imberg, who was the catcher last night and is the DH tonight here batting 4 and 5, barring a double play, of course, as the lefty watches called strike from Preston Waller. He had to get his first strikeout on the night, but first inning of work, so still looking to get the job done. He digs in again, delivers. This is one high. Even the count at one apiece. Runners on first and second, one out away. Colt 45's lead 9-3. Anchor's looking to chip away at that as this one's going to get chopped right to the first baseman. He's going to look for the double play. He's going to
look
the runner right on the ribs, it looked like, or closer to the back. Looks like he's holding a rib there. It is going to be a single, and that will load the bases. An interesting decision there to turn two.
Yeah, look,
first baseman Chavez.
Look at me go 3-4-3 and hit the reverse. Handled it on a hop, gloves, turns, throws a strong throw to first, caught the elbow or something of the runner Lagios. They'll load the bases for Imberg as the Colt 45s will drop the corners in with one out. All of a sudden, that's looking like a fun little debacle here.
There you go, and guess who's up? The designated hitter in Cam Imberg. One out down. Bases loaded, looking for a big swing here is an interesting call strike there. You can tell Imberg didn't agree with that. He had to step out of the way to avoid being hit by the ball. At least he motioned that he did. And a little shake of the head. Thought that one was definitely inside. But call strike run one nonetheless. Bases loaded here. One out away. Here's the pitch from Waller. Check swing, but low. It'll even the count at 1-1.
Yeah, bounced it in there. Imberg has flown out, grounded out, triple tonight. That was to the right center gap, got it to short hop the wall, and Parker played the carom, but wasn't in nearly enough time. Snap him at third, he's in with the stand-up triple. Now the 1-1.
Check swing again, this one is going to say did not go. And it will bring the count to 2-1. See the crowd getting involved, one in the double play here. At least the majority of the crowd, might be some Anchors fans in the crowd in attendance tonight, especially with some locals playing for them, or maybe not Reading locals, but just Northern California as a whole. As this one's going to get called strike, leaving the count to 2.
And it misses. Oh, my goodness. It was over but low, it looked like.
A very loud called ball, then, is what I'll call it there. Thought it was definitely going to be a strike there and even up the count. Regardless, 3-1. And Waller in this Colt 45's defense at risk of walking a run-in. Here's the 3-1. Swung on hard, and that is going deep into center field, right over the scoreboard. It might be gone, and it's out. It's going to be a grand slam for Cam Imberg and this Alameda Anchors defense offense. And this ball game has turned from 9-3 to 9-7, just like that.
Wow, what a shot from Imberg. Gave it a drive. Parker left at the wall. It was over his head. He had to watch it fly, and he will wave to it because it ain't coming back. It's 9-7 now here in the top of the sixth, and folks, don't go anywhere. We have way more baseball left to be played as Waller will make his way off the mound. We'll get a new reliever on here with the socks up high. It's going to be Tyler Shepard on In Relief when we return after this, after the Grand Salami from Emberg. It's 9-7, the 45s, down by 2 here in the top of the 6th.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viper plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Braxton Swetland on In Relief. The southpaw comes in to relieve Waller of his duties. And it's a 9-7 ball game here on KCNR. And it's pretty much a brand new ball game at this point as he concludes his warm-up tosses. And we'll get back underway. It will be Kaven Kroom here with one out and nobody aboard now after the Grand Salami from Cam Emberg that scored 4 and pulled the anchors back within 2.
Yeah, and there you go. There it is, 5 runs here in the top of the 6th so far. Obviously, the bases have been cleared now, so I'll have some more work to do. But 6 batters faced and 5 coming around a score is exactly how you draw it up, just about, if you are the Alameda Anchors. They're right back in this ballgame, as Jacob mentioned. 1 out away here in the top of 6. Score is now 7-9. It was 2-9 in favor of the Colt 45s. But as Jacob said, this, again, do not go anywhere. We got a lot of ball left tonight.
And the last 2 relievers go a third of an inning plus, which is rare to say the least.
Sure. And Kroom does a little dance in the box, and he's ready to go. Empty bases, nothing to lose here if you're him. Looking just to add some extra runs to keep shrinking that deficit down and possibly come around as he will watch a strike 1. Come around is 1 away from being the game tying run, I guess.
And it was that costly error by the first baseman. It would have been a double play to twist it and get the 45s out of the inning, but it was not. It went off of the runner, and next thing you know, it's 9-7. Ties him up inside, blows it by him. Just maybe got a piece of it, and Brown holds on for strike 2. Quickly, yeah. No balls and 2 strikes. Is Swetland trying to get the final 2 outs at the top of the 6th?
Absolutely, yeah. Fresh arm for Swetland. You could tell he is ready to bring nothing but the power here. Try to sit this side down and let his offense go back to work. Here's the 0-2. Not entirely sure where that one missed, but it's going to bring the count to 1-2.
Just a bit off the block.
Wow.
And trying to paint the corner.
Kroom's going to look to take advantage of that one here, put one in play. I'm sure he won't be watching one like that.
Here comes the backdoor slider, I bet. I guess front door with the lefty, left on right matchup.
See if he's right. Here's the delivery from Swetland. Swing and a miss, and that is going to be strike 3. Bring him up and sit him down. Out number 2 here.
Yeah, blows it by him. The heater reared back a little bit, added a little bit more velo to it. Next thing you know, is in the mitt of Brown for out number 2 as they throw it around the horn. That's the right end hitting Ben Johnston to the plate, who's singled twice and walked tonight.
And you see Johnston a little chuckle towards this heckling crowd over here. I shouldn't even say crowd, heckling specific person, but one person out there.
Not single him out or anything, but yeah. The single person.
One, the one guy.
Singular, sorry, not single.
Alameda Anchors, some trouble.
As we get a scoreboard reset, it's a brand new ball game.
There you go. So we'll use our scoreboard here because there's a reason we keep score. We got two outs down here in the top of the sixth. Your Colt 45s lead the Alameda Anchors 9-7, 0 on here. But five have already come around to score in the top of the fifth here, or top of the sixth, rather. It's a lot of action in the past three sides of batting.
And, yeah, the last three innings has just been action after action.
Right.
Wow, not a dull moment yet. Even though it's felt a little bit slower, it started to dwindle. This one misses way low and in.
Even the count of 1-1. Yeah, a slower-paced game, but plenty of action, for sure. I remember there's times that this year we'd be wrapping it up here in the ninth inning, just past 2 hours, 2:10, 2:15 roughly. But so far it's been a slower-paced season, but they've gotten the job done four times, the Colt 45s, of course, being them, as called strike will be doing it to 1-2, and they're looking to go 5-0 here. And if the game ended now, they would. However, it is a lot closer than it was 5 minutes ago.
One ball and two strikes now with two outs, and the 45s almost out of the nightmare of an inning.
1-2 count. Here's the delivery from Sweatland. Swung on. Going to be the second baseman corralled, and it is going to be the simple 4-3 put out to retire the side. So no runner stranded, but that's because they all came across the score if you're the Alameda Anchors here. Five runners score here in a long extended top of the sixth, and the score is now 7-9 here as we head to the bottom of six.
Here on KCNR Shasta Redding, tonight's game is sponsored by Loux Landscape Supply. At the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road, call 530-378-2220 or log on to LouxLandscape.com. Check out their wide variety of landscape rock, road base, and sand, decorative bark, pavers, retaining walls, and block, plus small rental equipment to help transform your yard. That's Loux Landscape Supply, LOUCK.
Hi, this is Cindy at Loux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Loux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LouxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Loux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Welcome back to Tiger Field here in Redding, California, as we enter the bottom of the sixth inning. Due up for your Colt 45s, Mark Anthony Carroll, followed by Preston Conklin, followed by Arthur Chavez. Anthony Carroll on the night so far as the wind continues to blow. We got a strikeout in the first inning, struck out looking, a ground out to short in the second, and a single where he came around all the way around to score in the fifth inning. As he pops this one into deep right field, it looks like right fielder is going to be under it. And it will be a first pitch swinging out as Grant Honinger was able to collect that one and make the easy squeeze. So one out away here in the bottom of six, 9-7, your Colt 45's lead. And due up is Preston Conklin, who has had much less action at third base than he did last night, but still, regardless, has played a pretty clean game. He had one sneak by him, not one that he was expected to get by any means, but the first couple runs for the Alameda Anchors, as this one's going to miss high for a 1-0, was based off a single that was hit down by that third baseline. He got dirty for it, but not able to come up with the ball. Conklin on the night. Hit by a pitch, a ground out, and a strikeout, as he'll watch a strike hit. Even the count at 1-1. He did come around to score in that pass inning as well in the bottom of the fifth. As another big cut there from Conklin, and he's going to miss. It'll be a 1-2 now. And Matero Gutierrez getting his first full inning of work, looking to get some momentum back on the side of the anchors, obviously, coming off that grand slam offensively, but defensively, they just let up an 8-run inning as well. Here's the 1-2, misses high, and he'll even up the count 2-2. The delivery from Gutierrez. Conklin swinging right back up to Gutierrez. He's able to glove it and make the play. It'll be a 1-3 put out, and that'll be out number 2. And an opportunity to sit all three down for Gutierrez right away as Arthur Chavez makes his way to the plate. So picking up the pace of this game just ever so slightly is Gutierrez in this anchors defense. 2 outs away, just about 5 pitches in to this bottom half of the inning.
First baseman, number 24, Arthur Chavez.
It's going to be the lefty Arthur Chavez, who singled in the fifth and came around to score and also struck out, and he was hit by a pitch where he was stranded on third in the very first inning. That's called strike. He will take. Gutierrez digging in. Here's the 0-1. Swung on, foul back over our heads and right to a group of kids playing in the park area. How about that? Not yours, Jacob. Sorry. Not your ball to grab.
One of these days when my glove extender comes in the mail.
There you go.
And I have a really large glove, dude.
Here's the 0-2. Fouled off into the dugout of the anchors. Or just about. Bounces off the dugout of the anchors.
That's what I... Anytime I... So, slow pitch softball the other day. It's at second base. Could have dove for it. It was on turf. No need. You know, save the body. We were up by a lot.
There you go.
And I was like, I could have had that if I had my glove extender. You know, you just throw it in there when you just miss it.
Here's the 0-2 from Gutierrez. Going to miss outside. Coming out of the stretch there. Just looked a little off and having to get up actually out of his squat. Carson Sanders make the grab. No runners on, no threat, but able to get it back. Here's the 1-2. Swung on right down the first base line. Should be a routine play, and he's going to mess it up. The announcer's curse there. That's on me. He's definitely on me.
Yeah, and some jeers from the crowd. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be an E3 there. No other way to put it, just unlucky. But regardless, Arthur Chavez will make his way onto first as a first baseman as well. So a couple first basemen hanging out on first base there. And unlucky there from Ben Johnston. Couldn't quite keep that one
and,
under wraps.
Honestly, we're going to rate that heckle, the Bill Buckner heckle. I don't know if it was picked up on the mics, but... I said, come on, Bill Buckner. That's a... Well, this one's foul tipped and held on by Sanders. That's a low blow for one. Of course, a nod to Bill Buckner of the Boston Red Sox. Part of the curse of the Bambino coming into effect. That's a great reach into baseball history, though. I will give it that. So style points added, but man, low blow for an organization, let me tell you.
Yo, Chiarito now dealing. Hits it up the second baseline. Another mistake about the exact same thing. And back-to-back errors, one by the first baseman, one by the second. And now we got a runner in scoring position for the Colt 45s, keeping this inning alive. And Montero Gutierrez, nothing but a little shrug, just saying, I'll deal with this.
Those are the first and second errors.
Yeah, Ben Johnston with that first one at first, and Cariucci at second with that one.
Some animated fans here tonight. It has been a rambunctious crowd these first 2 weekends of baseball, let me tell you. One of the fans yelling to get the glove on the ground, and I'll tell you this, the glove on the ground was not the problem. It just took a weird hop, rolled up, and, well, let's head to New York, check the replay, you know?
Are you an Anchors fan tonight or what, Jacob?
Nah, I'm just an infielder.
Okay.
This one's back to the screen. Just some baseball experience. I've got some burn.
Right.
Much easier
said than done, that is for sure.
And
that goes
I was going to say, as it's summer ball, as someone in the crowd, at any sporting event, you always think you can do it better, and I'll tell you this. Especially for baseball. You can't. I'm sorry. You just can't. It's the hardest thing to do in sports on both ends of the ball.
I'm terrified of playing infield with my work league in sports. I'm just, you know, a baseball coming at me that quick. I think a third of the size, too.
Yeah, and softballs are significantly easier to just move to.
Right.
Also, I had Eric Winchester, who, again, 6'4" frame, about 220 of pure muscle. D1 size, right? Eric Winchester, the pitching coach. I had him talk and smack to me. He said he was going to slam one down my throat at second base the other day. I was terrified, shaking in my boots, but I was ready for it because I played third. It's a line shot up the middle, diving play under the glove into center for a base hit.
Rounding third and coming to score, the throw is going to be cut off back towards second in time. And the run will be wiped. And Jerry Gibbs out to make sure the run doesn't count on the back pick. As the score is preserved 9-7, it's a goose egg here in the bottom of the sixth. And wow, what a play on the single. And we'll see what it is ruled. And it, oh, it looks like they are going to score, as he did score. And now Jerry Gibbs out here arguing, and he's a little animated here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that run should count, then again.
And some fantastic jawing going on between Jerry Gibbs and the home plate umpire in a standoff, asking why. And this is all those baseball aficionados, the savants, they can be questioning that interpretation. I'm pretty sure that run shouldn't score.
That's what I was thinking.
And then again, I could be wrong.
I usually look to you because I don't. When weird stuff happens, I'm still a little lost.
This is one of those times where it's a little bit beyond my casual baseball knowledge. I dig pretty deep in the rule book as far as most people are concerned, but that's one of those one-offs where, again, the runner, I think any time it's a play where it just, like, there's no, in my head, there's no way that counts. I'll put it that way. Like, there's just no scenario.
That's how I feel, too.
It shouldn't count. I don't know exactly what the ruling will be, but according to the scoreboard out there, it's 9-7. We'll see if it changes. But it was an 8.
Yeah, subject to change.
Yeah, subject to change.
It was
8-6 double play.
So it could possibly be a 10-7 ball game here in favor of the Colt 45s based on the call we just heard from the umpire, but it looks like kind of a standoff. Not really anything going on, not even words being exchanged. Coach Gibbs still out there just kind of waiting for his chance to go ask about it. And it has changed to 10, so we're going to go with the run there. I'm assuming that's why Gibbs is mad out of anything, so it looks like it was a run given by the umpire. And it's going to be 10-7. That run will come across the score. But yeah, an 8-6 coming out from center field. Rounding second was Rohan Brown. And he was, Braden Chiarito, rather.
Yeah, Chiarito. And
who was caught in his tracks and started making his way back. And it was
Gets a pat on the side. He's still chatting things up with the home plate umpire. And so, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the ruling is. There might be the runner has to get past a certain point. There's a whole level of interpretation to it. But, yeah, well, either way, the run's going to count. But as far as I'm concerned and everything I've seen, I've watched hours upon hours that add up to days, maybe even years, and listened to even more. That run should not count.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you based off my little baseball knowledge. Like, just looking at the game, that looked very natural as far as the pick on second base. And obviously that run was coming in almost simultaneously, you know, so it seemed like it was in the same play.
Yeah,
it literally was.
It was all, yeah, one fell swoop. So here we are in the top of the seventh now.
I think we're still trying to figure out the scoreboard, too, because all of a sudden it's 4-9 now.
Yeah, there's a lot of crooked numbers up there all of a sudden.
It should be 7-10 in favor of the Colt 45s, and we have entered the top of the seventh inning, where Jacob Green will take you the rest of the way, folks.
No balls and two strikes now, I think. That's also messed up in the absolute ambiguity of this seventh inning. There's a broken bat up the middle, ranging over the second baseman. Gloves throws the first in time, and the batter, Alec Nava, almost takes out the first base umpire. Oh, my goodness. You would have thought that was on purpose had it happened.
Incredible speed there by Nava, and obviously that hard step off the bag maybe set his knees in a different direction and lost his balance a little.
Yeah, just, oh gosh, complete mayhem. Now, called strike one. To the right-hand batter with the open stance, the 0-2 from the southpaw, Swetland, misses up and away for ball one, and
at the break, we'll look up what exactly the runner scoring.
Maybe it's just whatever the umpire feels like.
I hate that. I can't even tell you. This one on the inside corner at the knees. Wow, that zone's expanding tonight. Let me tell you.
So every time we get later into the game, a little bit more chaos happens.
So it was runners on first and second. And then, yeah, rounding third, came to this, I don't even know. The 1-2 fouled up and away out of play.
Little clunk off the car there.
That one's going to leave a mark. Folks, we're not even, it's not even time to stretch here yet. We're still just in the top of the seventh.
That's incredible.
There's so much baseball left to be played.
Incredible.
Tensions are high. Vibes are high. It's a chilly night at the ballpark. Why not be here longer and stay out of that Reading heat?
There you go. 1-2 count here. It's coming in from Sweatland. It's going to be check swing. Did not go. It'll even the count 2-2. Sweatland, in his first full inning of work, he got a strikeout there. In the 2/3 innings, he pitched just in the top of the 6th. Coming to relief, possibly close this game out, depending on how quick of work he can make through this lineup. As batter calls time, looks like Sanders is going to fix his gloves up.
Okay, so in my quick research here, which you can take it with a grain of salt, but apparently the run should count, but only if the runner from third base touches home plate before the runner from first base is tagged out at second.
That's kind of what I was thinking. It seemed like it was all simultaneous.
As this one's popped up, playable for the left fielder, third baseman, and shortstop, calling for foul territory, shortstop mark, Anthony Carroll ranging over, calls off everyone. Oh, my goodness.
He wanted the stat. You could tell. It looked like third baseman Conklin was right under that, and he said, no, that's mine right there. But sometimes it is better when you're sitting under there. I feel like sometimes, again, all I do is play softball. That's the only baseball.
I mean, it counts.
Esque type sport I play over the past 10 years of my life, at least. Past literally coach pitch. But sometimes when you are under that ball for as long as Conklin was, you do kind of lose track of it a little bit.
This one misses wide to the right hand batter.
Yeah, top of the lineup in Furuichi. Hopefully I'm not butchering that too bad. But I feel like it is kind of inevitable for a couple of the names out here.
Yeah, it's. Especially
mine
tonight.
Mine being one of them.
The 1-0.
Mine being one of them. No worries at all. No hate. Try our best. It's a 2-0 count here.
2-0 count with two out, nobody on here. This 10-7, top of the seventh. Check swing, ball in the dirt, misses low, appeal to third. And the answer's no.
Interesting.
And we will continue.
And now I'm not sure because the scoreboard does say 2-1, so I'm curious. It's 2-1 or 3-0. It didn't look like they said he went, but I thought he did, so now I'm really confused.
Should be 3-0.
Right.
This one on the inside corner. And two balls and two strikes. Well, so two balls and two strikes on Furuichi, the leadoff man, who's singled, flown out, grounded out, and then walked tonight. Here's the 2-2 fouled back toward the screen. Two balls and two strikes. Sweatland kicks and deals the 2-2 foul back again to the screen. Sorry about that, Spencer.
No worries at all. I forgot it was your inning, actually. So you knocked yourself out on each other.
This might be one of the most just unimaginably just wild calls we've
yeah,
probably
no, absolutely. This will
wild back and forth.
Like both last night, Friday night, and Saturday night tonight has been just a lot going on, and obviously it's our first weekend back in the booth together since April.
Feels great.
And first time here at Tiger Field since July.
Oh, so, man. Dude, that makes crazy. That's, think about crazy.
That's a calendar year right there. Pushing it, yeah. At least.
It's been long.
So the count is full here for Sweatland.
There's a ground ball toward the shortstop. Carroll gathers, throws the first a little bit high in time, and the side is retired. They go in order after the 6-3, and it's time to stretch here at Tiger Field, and we thought this moment would never come. Here's Scott Lewis with tonight's rendition of God Bless America here in this 10-7 ball game, here as we are getting ready to head to the bottom half of the 7th inning. The Sandlot Sound, rather, I believe, was tonight's rendition. That was, in fact, Scott Lewis with tonight's rendition of God Bless America. It's 10-7. The 45s lead it as we head to the bottom half of the 7th here on KCNR. Shasta Redding tonight's game, sponsored by Lauk's Landscape Supply. Home of the U-Cart Concrete Plus Landscape Supply. Has several different size trucks to accommodate your needs. Call 530-378-2220 or log on to lauklandscape.com.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back here to Tiger Field in Redding, California. I'm Jacob Green, joined here by Spencer Schlinge. It's great to have you with us. It's Bodie Joyner, Timmy Ayers, and then Deacon Paulos up to the plate to face off against Coulter, take that back, Matero Gutierrez in his second full inning of work, rather. To make sure I have the count right on my scorecard, as this one's fouled back up and away out of play. Over behind the screen for strike two.
Big bounce in the lot there.
The left-hand batter. Right-hand batter, rather.
Check under our cars on the way out there. That one was flirting with danger.
That is how I found a couple last year.
There you go. Here's the 0-2 from Gutierrez. Swung on through the 3-4 hole. And it's going to be just missed there by Fiorucci.
And if that isn't indicative of the night defensively for the Anchors.
Absolutely. Not an easy play to make, but a play you should make nonetheless, in my humble opinion.
Guessing that will be ruled an E4?
Yeah.
I don't know why it wouldn't be, but you never know.
Right. 7-10, runners on first. Colt 45's up 3 here at the bottom of 7, 0 outs away. And the lefty, Timmy Ayers, not the lefty, one of the lefties, based
one
on
of
this
the
lineup, one of the four, shows a great bunt there. It's going to go up.
Towards the second baseman.
Another bobble.
Bobbles and drops it. And everyone's going to be safe.
And I'm sure that Colt 45's dugout is excited about that area as of late, just that right side behind Gutierrez, just that infield as a whole, arguably just not able to corral the ball the way they've hoped so far. Last couple innings, especially just some quick mental lapses, some unforced errors.
Now,
runners on first and second.
Right in hitting Deegan Paulos. And it looks like they're going to play the corner infielders in just to look for the bunt.
Right.
Play in front of the runners. Shows bunt pulled it back. Called strike one. So a couple of E4s and traffic on the base paths here in this bottom of the seventh. As the Anchors will have two more innings to try and get something going, as, again, it's a 10-7 ball game, showing Bunt Canton on the corners, now pulling back, swinging away, line shot through the 5-6 on the left side. The left fielder Lagios up with the ball.
Oh, here
stop
comes.
Sign thrown up at the last second, and it's going to go through all the way to the catcher to hold the runners as the bases are now loaded after a couple of errors and that single into left.
Yeah, good call. I think he would have been dead there. I saw him waving him on, and he was like, wait, never mind. I changed my mind. You hold right there. That ball was coming in quick.
Stop sign thrown up.
The green light.
Yeah, stop sign thrown up a little bit late after the initial go. And I don't know if you've ever ran the bases with a third base coach over there, but sometimes you see that signal late, and he's lucky he didn't get back picked there. The throw into the cutoff man was on a couple of hops, and he just let it roll through. Versus normally you'd charge that cutoff throw as of the top of the order, and D'Amico Parker to the plate takes first pitch ball.
Yeah, the base is loaded, zero outs, and again, a nice single there coming from Paulos, but other than that, just some unforced errors, light mental mistakes from this defense behind Gutierrez, who's pitched a solid game so few innings so far, but it just feels like, again, those errors have come back to bite them so far.
This one's foul tip.
Look at us.
So in sync. We're back like we never left, only in our second game since what?
I'm here
April?
All summer. I'm here
summer.
Yeah, and even then, even April was quite the busy week with finals and finishing up soccer and stuff, so I didn't even get to call. I only think I called a handful of games with you in the spring semester.
Yeah, not too many.
Yeah.
Just a couple basketball games.
All blessings. Yeah, basketball is great.
There's a 1-1. Foul tip back to the screen. Just got a piece of it and on the hands for strike two. I'm going to have to get a Colt 45 sweatshirt or something. My goodness. And I mean, it's it's under 70 degrees out here. It's 67 degrees and with that wind chill factor.
Absolutely, with the wind chill, as you mentioned. First week of June, too.
I mean, wind chill factor. It's a warm breeze.
Yeah. The wind chill.
The 1-2 bounced in there.
The East Coast now. Played in Buffalo or something.
I was going to say, I fished Lake Shasta in what would be constituted as a wind chill factor with...
Yeah.
You know, you're on a boat running from end to end in sleet, 30-degree weather, 60 miles an hour, you're getting a headache because it's so cold. That's a wind chill factor.
I'm shivering thinking about it. Please stop here,
yeah.
Mr. Green.
The 2-2 breaking ball misses low to fill the count up. Yeah.
Parker doesn't even look excited about that ball. He wanted to swing at something there. You can tell. I'm sure this pitch, anything remotely close, he's taking a swipe at. Zero outs. Base is loaded here. Looking to add some insurance runs. Colt 45 here in the bottom of 7.
Just put the ball in play. Here's the payoff with nobody out. It's a line shot toward left. Chasing back Lagios. It will fall right in front of the warning track. It'll squeeze it. The throw in, tagging up on the play. D'Amico Parker again gives it a ride, but he gets the sacrifice fly. Wow, hit it on the screws. Just a little bit under it as holding it first and second will be Ayers and Paulos, but coming in to score is Joyner, and it's now an 11-7 ball game here in the bottom half of the seventh. For Mark Anthony Carroll, you're tuned in to KCNR Chester Reading, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNRradio.com. Jacob Green here with you, joined by Spencer Schlange. First pitch to Carroll, misses up and away for ball one. Taps the plate with his bat, now readies with a slightly open stance deep in the box as the righty Gutierrez comes set, kicks and deals the 1-0. Well, there's a heater on the inside corner for a called strike one. That wind just barely blowing out. It's kind of chilled out a little bit as things have progressed, but again, pretty chilly night at the ballpark for some summer ball action here in the hot North State.
Yeah, definitely just unusual. Not freezing temperatures.
Not even close.
Not grabbing my toboggan yet. But.
Here's the 1-1. Popped up towards center. Should be playable for Kroom. Charging in. Loses his hat. Gloves in shallow right center. Gets around it. Was going to make a strong throw in, but I'll just hit the cutoff, man. That is out number two. A couple of flyouts induced will bring up Preston Conklin. One run across for the 45s here. It's 11-7 in the bottom half of the seventh.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Here on KCNR Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, or online at KCNRradio.com, rather. It is a long ways away from being over as Jared Gibbs with a quick little mound visit here. Chat things up with his team and make their way back to their respective spaces and places.
Yeah, again, kind of like last game, it felt like this game has been dominated for the most part by the Colt 45s. But then you start looking at the stats and looking at the numbers, and you take away these errors by this Alameda Anchors team, and they've really just beaten themselves. If you take those away, they're probably up 3 or 4 runs right now based off the hits and based off the defensive play, minus those few errors. Obviously, those errors aren't just like nothing. Obviously, it's a big difference between winning and losing ball games. But a very competitive, close game so far. Only doesn't necessarily feel like it, as this one's fouled straight up in the air. It's going to keep carrying over the dugout from the looks of it, and just a few feet away from staying in play there. Or not in play as in bounds, but in the ballpark. So that'd be caught by the catcher there. Yeah, as I was saying, this game's a lot closer than you might think. 7-11. Still anyone's game.
The third baseman Nava over there with the glove, throwing it up in the air, playing a little catch with himself with his glove, just trying to stay loose.
There you go.
11-7, as you said, seems a lot closer than it is, but it was 11-6 final last night. Alameda definitely capable of scoring some more runs. The 0-1. Misses upstairs. Throw down to second base, trying to catch the runner. Napping, not in time. On the back pick is Ayers back in safely standing up. One ball, one strike after that pitch was taken out of the zone. And with two outs, the 45s can run on anything, so definitely scoring at least one run on a bloop single. Is a 1-1 delivery. Misses way upstairs for ball two.
Yeah, hard throw there, but just couldn't quite hit his spot. Okay, put everything into that one, but couldn't quite hit the zone, unfortunately.
Yeah, rear back with the high octane, but just missed. Here's the 2-1 delivery from the righty out of the stretch.
Oh.
And it's going to go off the helmet of the righty batter Conklin. I think. Maybe not.
I don't know what else it would have hit.
Did it go off the knob? Might have gone off the knob. I thought it hit his... off the top of the shoulder and then off the helmet.
I thought it hit the helmet.
So it looks like it went off the knob, then scraped off the helmet maybe. So it's a foul ball, and that is a
the most unfortunate foul ball you could possibly have in ball. That's unfortunate.
Here's the 2-2 with two gone. As a line shot toward left, giving chases Lagos to the warning track, and off the top of the wings, coming in to score, rounding third, is Paulos, and it's a 2-run double for Conklin, off the top of the wall, missed it by about less than a foot.
Yeah, definitely looked like it hit the net there. I don't know how to judge if that's a home run or not. Obviously, right off the tip of the wall, as you mentioned, Jacob, and it's able to fall. It gets away from the left fielder a little bit, obviously, just off the bounce. He's able to hustle back in. That is about as good of a hit as you could ask for after taking one nearly off the head. From the looks of it,
yeah.
An unfortunate foul ball hits that one, takes it all the way yard, but it just doesn't leave the park.
And, I mean, wow, that was, he missed a home run by, gosh, not even a foot. Now it's the left hand hitting with a wide open stance, Arthur Chavez to the plate.
Those are some big insurance runs off the last two innings as well for these Colt 45s.
It's now a 13-7 ball game, as you said, Spencer, off the insurance runs. Thought about the throw down to second base, but in with plenty of time, was Conklin dancing off the bag over there at second with a huge secondary lead. Here's the 1-0 to the left-hand hitter with the wide-open stance. And Chavez turns on it, pulls it way foul toward the Alameda pen, where they have some activity out there. It's the 31 of Coulter McMasters starting to get loose. Now the 1-1 delivery from the righty, Gutierrez. Conklin way over there at second base. Now back down to second base. Almost caught napping. The throw not picked at the other end. Caroms away toward the second baseman who picks it up. Conklin back in at second base safely. It was almost disastrous.
I do think, just to mention, our mystery man from last night's game, 31, out in left field a little bit and played first, I think, for a little bit, is Colter McMasters. If I remember correctly, it was 31.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to shed some light on that.
We vowed that we would get that name. We would have that name out for everyone listening tonight because we didn't have his name on the roster last night.
Gliding to his right catcher, blocks it. Now the throw to third is wide, and Conklin around third. He'll trot in to score. And on the E2 after the wild pitch, just like that, the 45 taking advantage of yet another error by the Alameda Anchors. And it's now 14-7. They've blown it wide open again here in this barn burner. 21 runs here in this ballgame.
Yeah, how about that? And if I'm not mistaken, looking at my sheet here, just the second, third, and fourth, no runs for the Colt 45s, but they've scored in the first, fifth, sixth, and seventh.
As this one, Colt strike three there. And the side is retired, finally, after all that mess, as the 45s lead it by a score of 14-7. As we head to the eighth, tonight's game is sponsored by Lauk's Landscape Supply, home of the UCART Concrete. Lauk's Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport, Churn Creek Road. Give them a call at 530-378-2220 or log on to laukslandscape.com. That's LOUCKS.
This is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Viber plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
And Sweatland still on in relief here in this top of the eighth inning.
See you tomorrow.
14-7. My apologies. Got a little dyslexia going on. Looking at the out of town scoreboard there to the right of the 358 mark. Some activity out in the bullpen for the 45s, but leading things off will be Diego Delventhal, the shortstop, and then Lagios, followed by Honinger. Here in the eighth inning, the 45s with the 7-run lead. First pitch misses wide for ball one here to begin things in the eighth. A 1-0 count on the right-hand hitter with the open stance deep in the box. Sweatland with the socks up high. Here in his second full inning of work, delivers a strike right down Broadway. Keeping the count up at one ball and one strike. And it's a pitch from the lefty Sweatland from the third base side. Kicks and deals with the glove to belt. Right down Broadway again for strike two. One ball and two strikes. Sweatland comes set. Again, working from that third base side. Kicks and deals the 1-2. Misses low and away. Two balls and two strikes now to the shortstop for the Alameda Anchors. And the 2-2 delivery from Sweatland as he readies, rocks and deals with the infield and outfield playing straight up. Swing! Gets the K on the 2-2 pitch. And that is out number one as they toss it around the horn.
There you go. Due up now, Marcos Lagios trying to get what he can going. They have to double their score here, the Anchors, just to keep this game rolling over the next two innings, of course. They need 7 runs at least and then some impeccable defense. One out away. Lagios' 5th attempt here so far. He's come around to score on a single just last inning in the 6th. He struck out, reached via the air, and grounded out. So his 5th attempt on the night. Sitting at 1-for-3, essentially. 2-for-4, reaching in air. As he watches a ball 1, Sweatland now digging in. Kicks and deals the 1-0. Low and inside to bring it to 2-0 the count. One out away here in a 14-7 ball game where your Colt 45s lead in the top of 8. 5 more outs away from retiring the side and ending the game and also winning the series officially. Obviously one more game tomorrow night out here, 7:15 at Tiger Field between these two teams. Got one more before the Anchors head back south and begin their campaign at home. Paul just strike there, big swing and a miss coming from Lagios. Bring the count to 2-1.
Yeah, and again, the game dwindling out a little bit as the offenses have gone a tad bit quiet, but everyone kind of moving and grooving here in the 8th inning.
Yeah, longer game for sure as far as just another big cut there from Lagios. He's swinging for the fences, to say the least. That'll even the count 2-2. Takes the helmet on, readjusts.
Ooh, the fastball by him. Reared back with the heater, some high octane from the southpaw.
Yeah, for sure. Sweatland using that power. Strong kick, high octane, as you mentioned, Jacob. Looking to punch out this game, if possible. Here's the 2-2. And looking, not quite. It'll fill the count, 3-2 now. Sweatland will have to hit the zone here. Or give something close enough where Lagios has to take a swing. Last thing you need is these Anchors getting on base for free with unforced errors or walks or anything like that. As we'll get time from the batter, Sweatland with a little chuckle as he heads off the mound. Lagios takes stance back in, wide stance in the box.
So Sweatland, to get the save tonight, would have to go the rest of the way, which you expect him to do as a payoff.
Big swing and a miss for strike 3 and out number 2. Swung at some low stuff there from Sweatland, and that is going to be out number 2. Back-to-back K's for Braxton Sweatland.
Yeah, went fishing, came up empty, and fun fact about K's, whether called a K, backward or forward, depending on looking or swinging, it was a baseball statistician who worked as a journalist back in, I want to say the 1890s, might have been early 1900s, and S was sacrifice, so they couldn't use it for a strikeout, so he used K because it was the other notable letter within the game, the word strikeout, used that in newspaper box scores when they first started, and that was courtesy of him. He's known as the father of baseball stats, which I forget the name. Henry Chadwick, there we go. I had to think of the name, so anyone who wants to fact check that.
As Sweatland gets up 0-2 early here in this count, and now he's got some pitches to work with before possibly getting that knockout punch again. On Honinger, it is due up this time. He's come around scored the last two times by a single and a fielder's choice, and he is 2-for-4 on the night. Single twice, reached by a fielder's choice, and he flew out in the first inning as he watched one low for a ball. Bring the count to 1-2. Sweatland looking to retire the side here and bring his Colt 45s just 3 outs away from a series win. Here's the delivery. Swing and miss, and that is 3 strikeouts, all swinging for Sweatland. 3 up, 3 down, and that is how the top of the 8th will end there. Your Colt 45s lead 14-7, and they head to the bottom of the 8th for their last inning of insurance runs here.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Laux Landscape Supply. Check out their wide variety of landscape rock, road basin sand, decorative bark, pavers, retaining walls, and block. Plus, small rental equipment to help transform your yard. Laux Landscape Supply. That's Louck.
This is Cindy at Louck's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Louck's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at louckslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Louck's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Bottom of the eighth inning, and the Anchors, number 31 of Coulter, McMasters will take things over for Matero Gutierrez. And take you the rest of the way through the bottom of the eighth inning. Here's Spencer Schlange.
Thank you, Jacob. Yeah, bottom of the eighth here. Last chance for the Colt 45 to add on any insurance runs if they deem necessary. Or if not, if they just want to swing for the fences.
Why not? Let us buy.
No, absolutely. I mean, I've never met a team that's not okay with scoring more, so. Bottom of the eighth, barring a miracle, this will be the last time we see either side six outs left in this game, as will be the 14th, Braden, the 14th of Braden Chiarito up, who has singled, struck it out, reached off of an error, and then was thrown out. And sacrifice fly, that's right. Sacrifice fly back in the fifth inning. Brought a couple runs across as well. And Colton McMaster, this one's going to get fouled up into the air. Third baseman is under it, and he's going to miss it, so it's going to be a foul ball. Ball does not stay fair. Just dancing in the wind there a little bit with that ball, and Nava could not stay under it. And again, that's kind of what I was talking about a little bit. From my little bit of experience, it's not even baseball experience, my little bit of softball experience, not being able to, if I'm under the ball for too long, I end up loose, and I start going a couple steps forward, a couple steps back, not being able to see it.
I mean, I was playing outfield the other day on Tuesday. Chase went down up the alley deep toward the warning track. That thing was dancing around a lot.
Right.
That's terrifying, because it doesn't move like a baseball does.
He's going to watch a ball here. It's going to even the count 1-1. At least I'm fairly certain. Yes. Scoreboard.
1-1
technical
right.
Difficulties. If I believe I'm correct. Here's the pitch again. A little sidearm approach here from McMasters. Correct me if I'm wrong there.
Yeah, a little 45-degree arm slot,
right,
but
right.
Before he goes into his stance of coming set, he's kind of bent at the waist in an athletic stance, knees bent, then comes set, kicks and deals in the third base side with that little cattywampus arm slot.
And I believe now a 2-2 count will even it up there, called strike. And McMaster's got his first opportunity to look for a strikeout here on Chiarito. Here's the 2-2 pitch from the righty. Kicks and deals. Swung on.
Wow.
And
just threw the barrel head at it and fouled it off.
Yeah, I got a piece of it. Got the slightest piece of it. It almost looked like
swing.
The catcher just didn't. he missed the ball and the catcher just didn't get a hand on it, a glove on it.
In and out.
But yeah, a 2-2 count regardless. He did get a piece of it, so we'll do it again. And this is where the lefties are batting towards the middle of the lineup here. Chiarito swings, and it's fouled just over the first base umpire's head. A little bit to the right as well, but just kept cutting.
Yeah, just got way out in front of it.
Again, 2-2 count. It will remain. Here's the 2-2. Going to miss just outside, and it's going to fill the count here. So now we have the official payoff pitch pending. And you never know, with the way this game's been going, we might get 3 or 4 of those payoff pitches just in this at-bat with foul balls and such. Or anything else under the moon that could happen at a ballpark.
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised as working a walk there as Chiarito.
Yeah, so about the most anticlimactic payoff pitch, just missed outside, not very close, is going to walk to first for Chiarito, and Rowan Brown is going to make his way to the batter's box, another left-handed hitter for his fifth at-bat, as Elias gets his last nod of the night, you'd have to assume.
Well,
the crowd here.
You just never know. It seems to dwindle a little bit here in the later innings where some traffic gets put on the base paths, and you never know what could happen.
Very true. Crazy stuff has happened, that's for sure. As pitch misses for ball one, if I'm not mistaken. Looked off, just a loud ball call, I believe.
Oh, it throws you off.
Yeah, for sure. Run on first, 0 outs away, bottom of the 8th here. 14-7, your Colt 45s lead the Alameda Anchors. Just 3 outs away once they get on the other side of this thing. 3 outs away from winning the series. It's called a strike, we'll even up the count 1-1.
That runner on first being held on by Johnston. Big lead over there at first.
Swung on there. It might be able to find a patch of grass, and it will. It's going to fall there. A few Alameda Anchors coming in towards that ball, but none of them decided to go for it there. As it's going to fall, it's going to be a single for Rowan Brown. I shouldn't say none of them decided to go for it, but it seemed like it did let up a little bit when it found that open grass.
Yeah, it just kind of kept carrying.
Right.
Again, with that wind being a factor, it's going to push what would have been a little flare toward the rim of the infield dirt. Just pushed out towards shallow center field. That's now runners at first and second with nobody out here in the bottom half of the eighth. Way out in front, swing and a miss for the 17 of Fernando Dominguez, a 5'8" catcher batting left out of Ceres, California.
And way to beat the PA guy to that as well. No hate to the PA guy, but you're just as good as your job. There you go.
I appreciate it. I'll take that.
Absolutely, because he is class as well. Class act. And that'll even the count 1-1. Runners on first and second. Still 0 outs here in the bottom of the eighth. And this game still has some life to it.
It's not over until it's over.
This will be a third lefty in a row. This Anchors team, I'm sure, has seen enough of lefties by the end of this weekend, because on deck is the fourth lefty in a row, as this one's fouled back straight into the parking lot. And it'll bring the count to 1-2. McMaster's peering in. Looks off. No call for a balk there. I heard someone yell
holding
from the dugout there in the Colt 45s. I was just waiting for a crash out or a balk call something. But no call, we'll do it again. There's the pitch. It's going to get fouled straight back into the lot again. Or straight forward in the lot this time. More towards the library parking lot if you've been out here at Tiger Field. Down the right field, past the dugout of the Alameda Anchors, down that first baseline, and into the lot. Into the street, kind of.
Also, Tyson Bragg on deck as a pinch hitter.
There you go.
For the 8 spot in Timmy Ayers. Ball in the dirt, blocked by the catcher, absolutely smothered. Great stuff from Sanders. So back-to-back pinch hitters, which is where the scorecard starts to get messy.
Absolutely. Remains a 2-2 count here. Fernando Dominguez looking to get on for his first opportunity here. First at-bat, try to bat 1,000 on the night and on the series as he's going to hit this one up the first base line. It's going to be a great play by the first baseman. He will beat the tag. Runners will advance 90 feet. But a 3-1 put out there will be the first out of this bottom of the eighth. So we got runners, two runners in scoring position now, one on second, one on third. It'll be Brown on second, Chiarito on third, and due up is Tyson Bragg via the pinch hit here. Another lefty to fourth in a row. And it looks like finally we'll get a right-handed hitter after this, unless a double play happens, of course, with Deegan Palos.
Now, two runners in scoring position with one out. And a huge space on the right side after both the runners shifted up.
Watch the ball there, Tyson Bragg. 1-0 count now.
In a game that might come close to the longest game of the year, although this is only the fifth game of the year.
Right.
This one called a strike. Even the count up, one ball and one strike.
Yeah, I hit 3 hours and 10 minutes. That's quite the game so far already, and we're not at the ninth inning yet.
And it's been the story of the free pass tonight.
Right. Absolutely. You don't realize that all the time. This one's going to be called strike. Bring the count to 1-2 on Bragg. Good looking pitch there from McMasters. You don't realize that until you look down at your score sheet and you're like, oh my goodness, there is a couple errors. There's quite a few walks, hit by pitches. You had what, one balk tonight? Or was that last night?
I don't think we've had a balk yet.
So it's all together. Maybe
like
it was last
thing.
Night.
This one goes at the backstop for Rob. Flip to home, not in time. In with the slide.
Oh,
now rounding third on the ball, escaping the pitcher. Quick throw home tag applied, not in time.
So his foot wasn't on the bag for the tag.
And, yeah, the third base coach, Johnny Downey, saying next time slide, it's 16-7 now. After both coming around to score on the wild pitch.
And it will bring the count to 2-2 off that pitch as well.
And so I'll even be nice and not give the catcher an error on that because I feel like normally that would be an E2, but given the circumstance, I'll rule it all in one play.
Right.
Now the 2-2 to Bragg, left-hand hitter with the bases empty and one out.
No filled account there. And a payoff pitch here for McMasters. Bragman in there for quite a few pitches himself. Seventh or eighth of this matchup. Little swing for McMasters. Ready to deliver. Kicks and deals the payoff. Little inside at the elbows, and it's going to be a walk off the full count. And as Jacob mentioned, another free pass. One out away, 16-7 is the score in favor of the Colt 45s. And up at the bottom of the lineup is going to be Deegan Palos, followed by the top of the lineup, where we will see, barring a double play, Tyler Zanheiser for the first time tonight.
Here with one out.
And Palos watches one inside, ball one. I know Zanheiser's on deck here. Hasn't played tonight. He is just plagued. Don't hit into a double play. Do not hit into a double play. Let me at least get in the box.
Yeah, after a busy night last night.
Absolutely. Yeah, and typically the leadoff on this team has another pitch taken inside. Oh, called strike. I stand corrected. My bad. That's on me. I'm not even blaming him for that. Palos turned his back pretty early, so I figured, oh, call a ball and then. Hup. So I'm assuming a strike.
Yep.
So we got a 1-1
in
count.
In most countries.
There you go. 1-1 count. Runner on first. One out away.
That's definitely a ball right there.
Yeah, yeah. A ball. You thought about it.
Missed way low and away. I love the hesitation there just to make sure.
That one
misses. Yeah. It always happens. You get a little trigger happy.
For sure. There's a deal from McMaster. It's going to be called strike. It's good framing there from the catcher.
Way to bring it up from the Southern Hemisphere. But,
Okay,
late in the ball game like this, the strike zone's going to be a little bit bigger against the 45s.
Just 2-2 count. McMaster looking to get his first K of the night. Here's the pitch. And he's going to be hit by a pitch. And, again, another free pass opportunity. Not as free as a walk, but he is heading to first. And now we got runners on first and second, one out away. And Tyler Zanheiser, Reading native, is up to bat here.
And now some... Oh, no, I take that back. Thought there was some disagreement.
Maybe we just got a ball out there. Tyler Zanheiser out of Foothill High School, Butte College for a minute.
Butte College for a minute.
College.
Under the helm of Brad Rupert, husband of Molly Rupert, one of our professors.
Now, not many people know about the Butte College stint, but I think it was just for the spring training, rather, fall training, I guess, for college ball.
That's like my DVC stint, summer ball. Played summer ball at a DVC.
Yeah, I played pro for a couple months. I played pro for training camp. Just kidding.
Hey, that counts.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has now turned a brisk temperature. It's no longer chilly.
No, yeah, for sure.
It is now brisk.
They could see the... I think my voice is pitched up just the slightest bit, a couple of octaves, just shivering a little bit. I'm not going to lie, on the radio call, I sound a little bit different tonight.
Still not as cold as that game in the monsoon that I called for football.
Yeah, that is insane. Big swing from Zanheiser, going to carry him back to Mark Anthony Carroll on deck. And bring the count to 1-2. Still just one out away.
Runners will take their leads with the infield playing behind them.
Here's McMaster. Swung on by Zanheiser. It's going to find Smoping Grass, and it will score a run. His one at bat will at least score one. And it looks like holding at three is going to be, at least I'd assume so. Yes, holding at three is going to be Deegan Paulos. So a RBI double for Tyler Zanheiser on his, what I'd assume to be his one and only at bat of the night.
It should be.
It really should.
I trust the Alameda Anchors. Again, we talked about it last night, less so tonight, but they were down 13 players last night. They don't have a lot of pitchers at their disposal. They don't want to use too many. But now three runs across, it's a 17-7 ball game, and what's turned to a complete barn burner.
Mark Anthony Carroll swings at the first one. It's going to be fouled back. And we're about to go through the lineup again, possibly. So we had a couple more batters to go. I don't want to jump the gun on that. Runners on second and third, both in scoring position. 20th run at the plate, if you want to make this game a slightly bit more exciting. Could they hit the 20 mark? This one's low in the dirt. Runners choose not to go. Of course, would have to go home for that. I would have been dead in their tracks there.
Nah, going for a little stroll will be the pitcher, McMaster.
Yeah, McMaster. And like you said, 1,000% his game to finish. Once he entered the game in the seventh inning there. Or it might have been the eighth inning.
It's actually been this inning. Yeah.
Right.
Which, I mean, story of tonight.
A long one. Right.
Yeah.
The innings either go three up, three down in about three pitches, or we're spending 45 minutes trying to figure out what to talk about after the first.
You know what's bad when I reach into my baseball history codex, you know, of just books I've read since being a little kid and whatnot, but. I mean, the cricket statistician is this one. Yeah, catch the right at the knees. I mean, the K looking, I save that one for, wow, when we're looking for something to really talk about as we're approaching, what'll likely be the longest game of the year, just barely, just by a skosh. Their opening night was 3 hours and 25 minutes.
Swung out by Mark Anthony Carroll into shallow left field, caught, runner fakes the tag, instead to the runner, pretends to tag, and he will hold. So it will be a fly. No runners will advance. Zanheiser will remain on second. Paulos will remain on third, and it's going to be flies from Mark Anthony Carroll. Carroll. Shallow left field for out number two, and out you up will be Conklin. Runners on second and third. Two outs away. 17-7 is the score. In favor of your Reading Colt 45s. This is pitch in on the hands, I believe, for ball one, correct? And Preston Conklin. On the night, he's doubled, grounded out, been hit by a pitch, grounded out, and struck out. So not the most productive night, but just recently had a double, and he's done pretty good in the field as well. Manning third base, so he's looking to... Pick back up right where he left off there in the seventh inning. Here's the 2-0 from McMaster. And this ballgame heading towards the dying end, called strike, a 2-1 count. And a look off there from Conklin. Not sure if he agreed with it, but regardless, 2-1 count. Runners on second and third. Here's the 2-1. No swing down in the dirt. 3-1 count. It's going to be the 3-1 count here. 17-7 the score again. Just trying not to reiterate myself too much as this pitch is going to go behind. It's going to fill the bases. Bases are going to be loaded for Arthur Chavez as a 5-pitch walk is delivered. So Palos third, Zanheiser second, and now Conklin on first. Bases are loaded. And two outs down, the lefty, Arthur Chavez, the last man to bat through this order in this inning, is due up on deck. Or at the plate, sorry, rather. As he's going to foul this one up just over our heads, and Jacob got a little excited, but it's going to smack the tent.
Let's see if I can get this one to stand.
Jacob's going to try to call this one, so I guess I'll just keep doing my job here.
I'll have to go dig it out of there later.
There you go.
At some employee.
Oh, one count off that foul ball. Infield plays at any bag.
Let's see if, see if I can get a fan to...
Catcher wore one off the elbow. Oh, never mind. Batter. So it's actually going to be Arthur Chavez is going to be hit by a pitch, and that will walk a run in, and that will bring the score to 18-7.
And some kids circling for it back there in the grill trying to find it. It went down around and got somewhere lost.
Just don't tell them. Just don't tell them. So bases will remain loaded. Two outs away. 18-7 is the score as the crowd has slowly began to disappear, and look, Jacob's got a little souvenir right here.
Free souvenir from a young Brewer fan down there. Shout out to that kid. We got one in the booth, finally. So just like that, you know, that's why you stay right there.
May I? Oh, wow.
That thing is scraped up and battered.
I caught a foul ball.
From bouncing around.
There you go. Quote,
free,
unquote.
Quote, free
unquote,
souvenir. Call. There we go. And that's why you stick around for the ball game, folks.
There you go. And we have now officially batted all the way through the lineup. Bases are loaded. Score is 18-7. Two outs away. And up here is Brandon Chiarito. Oh, never mind. It looks like we'll have a pinch hitter.
And he'll get plunked.
So hit by a pitch again, back-to-back pitches, hitting batters. And now bases will be loaded again. They'll walk in another run, and that will be Zanheiser coming around to score. And that will bring the score 19-7. And bases loaded still. Conklin now the 20th run. If he could come across, this one misses outside. Very possible. But with two outs down, anything can happen here.
Yeah, now the 45 is just kind of pulling it on. Not necessarily on purpose, by any means necessary.
No, they haven't really had to swing the bat too much, unfortunately. Or yeah, fortunately for them.
You got yourself a messy scorecard as well.
Yeah, don't look to me for reference, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of... I mean, after a Conklin walk and everything else, it's just been complete chaos. Now this one at the knees on the outside corner, make the count 2-1. Chiarito. All these left-hand batters. Joiner, rather.
Fernando, as this one's going to be, he'll fly out to left field, so the full 45 will
the inning finally
three,
comes
however,
to
they do bring five across. So I don't think they can complain too much. 19-7 is the score. And a whopping 12 runs needed to keep this game going if you are the Alameda Anchors here.
And we're going to send it to break. We'll be back for the ninth inning here on KCNR. Shasta Redding, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. When we return after this, it'll be the top of the ninth inning. The Colt 45 will look to close it out in a 19-7 ball game.
Tonight's game is sponsored by Lux Landscape Supply at Durst Airport and Turn Creek Road. Call 530-378-2220 or log on to luxlandscape.com. That's L-O-U-C-K-S.
It wasn't easy, but nothing is. No.
Hi, this is Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersch, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
We're back here in the ninth inning, just holding down our papers as much as we can as we look to hold things down here.
Our
chairs falling all over the place. As Cam Imberg will lead things off here in the ninth, facing off against the new reliever for the Colt 45s.
Couldn't tell you.
And I missed it with Chad Johnson on the PA, trying to keep our papers from flying all around. This one's fouled back to the screen for strike one to the right-hand hitting Imberg.
Number seven.
Number seven being Jason Yeager.
What a name, Al.
What do you know about Yeagers?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. How old are you again? 15? 16? No, I'm just kidding. We've now eclipsed the longest ball game, now called strike two. Fastball in the outside corner.
327. My math is mathing. It's quite the game.
The 0-2 delivery. Misses low all the way to the backstop.
Last at-bat, obviously, Cam Imberg. It was a different game after his at-bat with the whole grand slam, bringing the score from 3-9 to 7-9. But unfortunately, it's been a ghost town on the bases since then for this Anchors offense. As he'll swing on this one, it'll go straight up into the air, but it's going to be foul.
Giving chase and running out of room toward the light post. A trio of 45s unable to get to it. They run out of real estate. Also, come to Fratelli's Pizza, 1774 California Street, on Monday, June 15th at 3 p.m. to see a live stream of the Hard to Watch podcast hosted by our producer back in the studio, Engineering Things, here on this very old. They will be taking questions from the audience. The 1-2 hit in the air toward left. Zanizer breaking back, now breaking in. One, and that might not actually be Zanizer out there. In
yeah, I think that'll still field. Be Timmy Ayers.
Yeah, it's still Ayers, the lefty. I think Zanizer's in right field, or center, rather.
There you go. Looks about right.
The Zan man.
Yeah, he did hop in. Top of the lineup there for D'Amico Parker as well, so that would make the most sense to take his spot in center.
Yeah, I forgot he came in for D'Amico Parker. I was thinking he came in the bottom half of the lineup, but now it's the right-hand hitting Kaven Kroom to the plate. He struck out twice, singled and grounded out, takes the first pitch, called ball one. Now as he comes set, kicks and deals, Yeager, and it's a line shot through the right side for a base hit. And Alameda Anchors, staying alive like the Bee Gees with one down here.
Good one.
I mean, I try to mix it in.
No, that was nice.
has the 24 of Ben Johnston to the plate with the runner on first. The 45s are a double play away from heading back to the locker room, improving to 5-0 on the season.
Yeah, and winning the series against a solid anchor squad again. They're obviously missing a lot of players. They're a little short-staffed with pitchers as well. So this first one, take called strike.
As Johnston at the plate now with that slightly open stance deep in the box and that probably 6'5" frame. Here's the 0-1 from the righty Jaeger. Breaking ball in on the hands, back pick toward first. We're on the tag applied, not in time. Safe at first in diving was Kroom. One ball, one strike, one out. Runner on first here in this 19-7, top of the ninth inning. The 45s lead it. The outfield shaded toward left. Runner goes, throw taken up high for a ball, throw down to second base, and through into center field. Caroms away, and a Mark Anthony Carroll high IQ play keeps the runner at second base, pretending to hold the tag on.
Yeah, great heads up play by him as well, especially this deep in the ballgame to make a play like that is when the game's already more or less in hand, I'd like to say. Knock on wood, of course. But just a great heads-up play and staying alive and exactly what he's supposed to do there, doing a great job.
Now here's a ground ball through the 3-4 hole on the right side again. Up with the ball is the right fielder Chiarito, and he'll toss it in on a line to keep the runners at the corners as the anchors continue to barrel that baseball.
Yeah, it's a great job there by Chiarito firing that in there. It looked like runner was about to go there, just try to get one more run before calling this one a day. But Gibbs with a good call to hold him there.
Now we'll kick and deal. Misses low and in for ball one. Smothered by the catcher. Kept it in front of him. The third baseman, Alec Nava. Left-hand batter. A lot of lefties here in this series. Livers fouled up and away for the bocce ball courts.
Oh, I see it.
Kids go chasing after it like a bunch of seagulls. And even a couple of adults.
Who, me?
Over with a look is Spencer Schlange. He's tied to the radio booth. He can't go chase it down. Here's the runners at the corners. They take their leads. The 1-1 is hit in the air toward left, but it will be foul and out of play toward the Colt 45 pen.
I think I can find a way to go grab that one, at least.
I mean, if you sprint, you'll make it. Yeah, it's your boy TZ down there to finagle one
there
for
you. There you go. TZ too breezy. You'll get me one.
There's your word of the day, finagle. I think I've already said that about four other words.
Yeah, I was about to say, how many words of the days do we get per show?
The 1-2 taken upstairs for ball two. Every 45 minutes of baseball, you get a new word. How about that?
Okay.
We'll put it that way.
So this has been, what, 3.5-hour game?
Yeah, you get 7 words for this ball game.
I've used 0.
Scintillating, that's another one. The ball's been scintillating up there in the atmosphere. The 2-2 is on the outside corner. Ring him up. Strike 3 called. Gone. A-looking is Alec Nava. Now
yeah,
the anchor's down to their
Nava.
Final out.
A little shake of the head from Nava. Was not exactly happy with that one. Like, I get it. It's time to go home.
That's called a late game strike.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Look at him. Point the bat towards him and be like, hey, be nice to me.
Man, we are losing it here. Right here. My gosh. I hope Alex Parker's just enthralled back in the studio. There's another word of the day, enthralled.
Sure he is.
Hopefully we're not tantalizing him. Okay, hit them all. There's a line shot into right field. It'll get down for a base hit. That'll score one. Trotting into score is Kroom. And holding at second base, could hustle in maybe, is Johnston. On the hard knock by Sanders, and the Alameda anchors are still alive after 3 hits in the frame. And we just got word from Alex Parker. He is, in fact, entertained. Well, he didn't use a contraction in his chat sentence, so I don't know how actually enthralled. He said, I am entertained, not I'm entertained. So I don't know how true it is.
Entertained. True it is, but are you not entertained?
It's now 19-8. I'm always entertained by baseball. This one misses up and in for ball one to the leadoff man, Evan Ferrucci. He's walked, grounded out, flown out, singled, and grounded out again tonight. See what he can do here and keep the line moving. The 0-1.
is chopped, and it's called fair. Pitcher gathers, clears, throws down to first in time for the 1-3, and the ball game comes to a close after 3 hours and 34 minutes. The Colt 45s win it by a score of 19-8. We'll be back with the totals after this.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretta trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular vibroplates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Sides improved to 5-0 on the year. Alameda falls to 0-2 here in this opening weekend. For the Alameda Anchors, 8 runs on 14 hits, 4 errors. They left 11. For your Colt 45s, 19 runs on 13 hits, 3 errors. They left 8. The final time of the ball game was 3 hours and 34 minutes. The win goes to Jeff Vittori. The loss goes to Corey Houston, and not a save situation for the 45s here in this one as they improve to 5-0 on the year. And Spencer, I mean, what a showing. The Colt 45s getting out hit, but it took advantage of the free passes, a number of walks, and hit batsmen, and ended up kind of being the difference in this ball game. It was those free passes that came into effect.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, I don't think they really needed to swing the bats in order to win this game tonight with the way, obviously, that Anchors defense, not even necessarily the pitching wasn't even horrible. There's just a few errors, so I guess they probably definitely needed to swing the bat. You know, that was a stretch for sure. But they did a great job just staying patient. They did their job on the defensive side of things, limited the errors. Yeah, and anything that was in play had a good chance of being safe tonight. And I think over, you know, 50% of the time they put it in play, they were on base.
Yeah, and defensively, it's opening weekend for the
right,
Alameda Anchors. It's the first weekend of their baseball seeing live action, essentially. And so when you go from not playing ball for about a month and a half or so in college and or even high school, when that ended, and you come here and you're playing live action ball, again, they're trying to get your feet under you. The game still, it speeds back up a little bit. And in this case, that was just, it's been the story of the last two nights. It's been the command issues with the pitchers, but then also the defense behind them. It's kind of led way to it. And also, this is the first two games as a team playing together, and they're still short in some regard with some of their players missing. So all credit to the Alameda Anchors, still scoring 8 runs on 14 hits. They left 11 in the 45s, 19 runs, 13 hits. They left 8, and something the 45s need to clean up a little bit is the errors, kind of costly. And then there's been a couple instances where they've gotten to baseballs that were just should have been handled, or just shouldn't have even been got to in some cases, like Mark Anthony Carroll in that 5-6 hole on the backhand. Got to it, but just no play with the ball. Still threw it to first, but just wasn't even close. And that's kind of been the story of the weekend, where it's almost lopsided. It's very evenly matched, and Corey Houston started strong, just kind of fell off there toward the end.
Right.
So kind of unfortunate for Q out there in his season opening debut here for the summer, but nonetheless, a great ball game all around. 19-8, your final score. And special thanks to Alex Parker back in the studio engineering things for us. And we will not be on the call tomorrow with the ad not selling, unless somebody tuning in gets your business to sponsor the game tomorrow night. It's $300. You get an interview and a whole month of ads with KCNR Radio. You get your ad read every half inning and every chance we can get here on KCNR Shasta Redding. And so, yeah, we'd appreciate anybody buying the ad at this point. It'd be a buzzer beater, but
you know, give us a call in the next less than 24 hours, and we'll get you in, and we'll call the game here from Tiger Field. Well, for Jacob Green and Spencer Schlange here in the second weekend of baseball, the Redding Colt 45s improved to 5-0. Alameda falls to 0-2. The final score here from Tiger Field, 19-8. The 45s to win it. For Jacob Green and Spencer Schlange with Alex Barker back in the studio engineering things for us here on KCNR, saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next weekend. Again, the final score here from Tiger Field is the Alameda Anchors 8 and your Redding Colt 45s 19.
Him and he testified as a defense witness, Hamaway did, who won the Democratic nomination for Congress the other day, testified in the Blind Shake's trial as a defense witness.
He's a combat veteran, combat plastic surgeon who volunteered over in Gaza, where we know he one of the hospitals that he worked in had tunnels underneath it where Hamas came in and out. He's extremely critical of Israel. He wants to cut off aid to Israel, especially the Iron Dome. And yet he says, well, there weren't many Muslims. There weren't many Muslims in New York at the time. He was just somebody that everybody knew.
Yeah, that's what
he
says.
Do you believe for a second?
He says he's part of the community. He was preaching. He saw him. But my question is, the campaign says that he had, quote, no meaningful relationship. That's their words.
That's
no
true.
Meaningful relationship with Rahman. He, no meaningful relationship. He goes to his house. He helps translate with him. And let me read you some of the transcript. From the trial. Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald asking Khamenei in the trial in 1995. Did you hear defendant Abdurrahman talk about how America is the enemy of Islam? Khamenei says yes. Did you hear about how Muslims had to do jihad against the enemies of Islam before the arrest in June of 1993? Khamenei says, quote, of course. That's what he always talked about. He talked about jihad, you know.
So he's just lying.
So he's admitting it in the trial. His campaign says that, he broke off contact with the Blind Sheikh when he was arrested in 1993.
So what do they do? Just cover this up? The people in New Jersey don't care? Mike Lawler says if this guy wins, first thing I'm going to do is look for an investigation on him. But I don't know what you could do once he gets elected.
Yeah, you know who's buried in that district? Todd Beamer. Todd Beamer was from that district, Cranberry, New Jersey. Yeah.
Let's roll. From Flight 93.
93. And David Beamer, his father, contacted me yesterday, says that either the New Jersey voters don't know, they're uninformed, and he thinks it's a shame.
Eric Sean, thanks so much.
Check out his series,
The American Mafia Season 2, as well as John Gotti. He's called the Gotti Guy. So, Eric, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Brian, thank you.
Keep it here. Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
Love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas.
Hi, this is Carrie Grawl. This season marks a new chapter for Organic Pilates, a rebirth of sorts in a new, larger downtown space. Alongside it, we want to introduce you to Harmony, a lifestyle boutique created as a natural extension of how we move and live with intention. We want to invite you in. Harmony and Organic Pilates, now open in downtown Reading. We're located at 1264 California Street in between Curated and Theory Coffee. We can't wait to see you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.